mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us on this very important 20th day of August, 2008. We're going to be live here for the next 4 hours. Guess who we have joining us today? In 30 minutes from now, Congressman Ron Paul on a host of vital issues. Paul Joseph Watson on the war in the frontiers with Russia on the Russian front, on the police state in England. On a host of other issues, Jonathan Alanoff, We Are Change Colorado, as we give you some lead-up reporting on what's happening in Denver, this giant NCAP or promotional event for martial law for the rest of the country. Wayne Madsen, former NSA officer, and Peter Dale Scott, top professor on government narcotics trafficking and government-sponsored terrorism. So Ron Paul, Paul Watson, Jonathan Alanoff, Wayne Madsen, and Peter Dale Scott today for you. I am going to be here live tomorrow. I haven't decided whether I want to run a best of a whole bunch of the wonderful interviews we've done the last few months on Friday, because I'm just not going to be able to leave town Friday night if I don't take off Friday. Or I may just have Jason Burmes sit in, but he's busy with the Fabled Enemies website and some new trailers and a bunch of work he's doing, but he wants to do the show Friday. You'll probably hear Jason Burmes on the show Friday. I know he's doing the Sunday show, and Jason will be doing next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday here on air while I call in live from the DNC. Also, we're going to have a live video feed at least 1 hour today up on Infowars.com. Free to the public, and when I go down to the FEMA camp, probably Monday or Tuesday, we'll have a live video in case the police start shotgunning us or beating our heads with clubs or murdering us or God knows what and then saying that we, you know, pulled out weapons on them. We'll have video of us defenselessly being bludgeoned by demons of hell unleashed to destroy the country. That's what it is. So we're going to be there. With the live video rolling out, this technology is devastating to them, devastating to enemy forces. We can show their lies and show you who their father is. I'd love exposing your evil. NATO suspends formal contacts with Russia. Merrill Lynch, Wachovia in danger of failing. You that have helped the parasites will now reap the whirlwind. You have sowed it. MSNBC reports Bush is creating an embryonic police state. Well, if it's embryonic, then a NFL lineman is an embryonic male. Or a 35-year-old woman is an embryonic female. No, it's not embryonic. It is glistening, armored, all around you, constantly scanning everything, building giant death camps, bringing in hardened felons to join the police force and military, building giant forces of darkness all around you. Embryonic. Embryonic. They're just now getting around to telling you and admitting it's all being passed. It's all oiled and loved and machined and all being passed to the Democrats, the new guardians of evil, if they are to be elected, or the new guardian of evil, John McCain. There's nothing new. Don't worry, all of you that have served evil, you're going to get to see real evil very soon. Everything you love, everything you want, everything that attracts you like a moth to the flame. NSA security officer, we should just kill these people. Speaking of bloggers, that from Wayne Madsen, who's really turned out to be an accurate source. I hope he's wrong on this. Man arrested and locked up for 5 hours, also physically attacked after taking photo of a police van that was going the wrong way down the street. Cop just came out and said,
"You don't take a photo of God. You kneel to me, slave."
The
he's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All over Europe, all over England, all over the United States, just like communist China. Cops are beating people up. You videotape them 100 yards away. They come over and beat you up and charge you with assaulting them. You try to just peacefully videotape them. They come over and arrest you and charge you with attacking them. On video. You don't touch them. They just commit crimes right on video. Evil and corruption is now authorized. They are rewarded in most major departments for this now. Darkness is descending quickly. And then I see the very same case out of England. This cops drive down the wrong way of the street, park. Of course, this fellow had been ticketed before for doing a similar thing. He lives there, so he gets out and takes a photo, and the police run out, and the cop knocks the camera out of his hands, grabs him, slams him down, and then charges him with assaulting the officer with the camera. You know, every day I see a report about SWAT teams going to the wrong house. Every day. I'm not even looking for them. Every day. Now, I might not see one for 2 days, but then I'll see two or three stories in one day. That's about every day. Where they go to the wrong house, not the right house, the wrong house. And you only hear about it when it's the wrong house. And they shoot the family, Chihuahua, Beagle, Chained, Labrador. The dogs will run and they will gun them down, shooting them in the hindquarters. I mean, these guys are the type that you take deer hunting, and they call it buck fever, and they can... I've known deer hunters back when I had a lot of time to deer hunt many moons ago. Well, I guess I went deer hunting again 2 years ago when I had time. But the point is that they would hunt for years in areas just full of big deer. Nice racks. They could never shoot one. They were great shots at the range, too. You know, they had a little range there at one deer camp. The great shots. But when they saw a buck, they'd start shaking. And it's the same thing with these SWAT team guys, especially in the middle-sized towns where they're really not well-trained. They just dogsy run. And they just, ha-ha! You know, I want to kill something. And they defend that. They defend the killing of the dogs. But then, if you yell at a police dog, you get jail time. I have seen at least three national attention stories. The first one was 8 years ago in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, Associated Press. I have the story memorized. I must have covered it on air 20 times. I'm covering it 21st time right now, or whatever it is, 50th time, I don't know. And the guy's walking through a parking lot. And a police dog, the window's down. It's in the summer, and the police dog's head lunges out, snarling and trying to bite him. And he screams, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, F you, dog." The officer's walking out, sees it, runs, grabs him, tackles him, takes him to jail. He was charged. He was convicted. And he was given, you can go pull the article up, I believe it was 2-year sentence, but I think it was cut down for yelling at a dog. That was called assault by the court. That's how fraudulent these courts are, what criminal jokes they are. Now, that just so happens to have happened to me 5 or 6 times, even 8 years ago when I first heard of that happening. I had had that happen to me, I think it was in a Target parking lot one time with a big dog. One time it was even a shepherd in the back of a... cab of a pickup truck. I'm sure it's happened to all of you. Most of you out there have been in parking lots. And the dog's asleep in there. You're walking in a restaurant. You're walking in the mall. You're walking in a grocery store. And all of a sudden, it's on a short chain. But over the side, and you're like, "Oh, my God! What?" And then, yeah, I'm a primitive human. I scream back, "You piece of filth! I'm just walking through the parking lot!" You don't do that to a god's dog, because that a dog of King Zeus is a god to you. I've seen people get 20, 30, 40 years in prison for shooting a police dog when they send it into the house. And in Houston a few years ago, they had this thing with helicopters and giant parades for some police dog. And the point is that they can hold two opposite, completely different ideas. Your dog is a piece of filth to be gunned down in the back. But their dog is a god, because it's about setting a precedent that you are beneath their animals. Next time I get the awesome police chief in here, I'm gonna actually print up some of those articles and ask him if a police dog's better than a human. I've seen cases of where a police dog just goes crazy walking down the street with cops and starts biting some innocent person, and the person kicks it in the mouth and is charged and gets jail time. Because they are officers. Police, when a cop gets killed, 90-plus percent of the time, they hunt down who killed the cop and they go to prison and get the death penalty. I know the conviction rate's above 90%. When a slave human, a bond slave of the government, is killed, they solve less than 10% of murders. So when a god is killed, they catch the mere mortal 90% of the time. But when a mere slave mortal is killed, they only catch him 10% of the time. Now, the police have gotten a little upset, and it's kind of like Robbie the Robot cannot compute. In California, in Texas, in Nevada, in Arizona, and New Mexico, where every couple days I read about a cop, an FBI, federal, state, local, being killed by an illegal alien who runs back to Mexico, and Mexico won't even extradite him up here. And then in a lot of cases, they let them go. If they're connected to drug cartels, because that's who runs Mexico. And the police are like, well, we can't have this. Well, why? When it happens to us, the dirt-level citizens, it's all right. I mean, I don't want cops getting killed. I think it's horrible. I think I wish no police were killed in the line of duty. Maybe they wouldn't be so militarized and crazy and act like when they pull old ladies over that they pulled over Godzilla. But I don't like your dogs being better than me. And I don't like you treating our dogs like they're worth nothing. I went to one time for an Access TV show we did years ago, about 9 years ago. I went to one house where the police came in. The chained lab was in the kitchen, chained up on his bed. He growled at them like any dog would do, and they shot the dog a whole bunch of times, blew its brains all over the wall. I mean, I was there, I saw the brains, they'd removed the dog, and then fired through the wall wildly, and a bullet went through the wall and lodged 1 inch above the baby crib. Just down off First Street, right down by the river. That was the Austin SWAT team. Just wildly spraying bullets when they come in the back door of some little hippie house. Looking for marijuana. God help us. And there are all of these surveillance grids. They're federalizing local police, building the command centers. Many of them are already built. Building secret prisons, then denying they exist. And when they get caught, saying you don't have a right to know, citizens, about secret local prisons. The military-industrial complex is eating the United States. And what does Keith Olbermann do? Keith makes it a partisan issue of George Bush. But then it goes on to admit that the Washington Post reported it's all being standardized and transferred over to whoever comes in next in office. Bush is a puppet. This has been growing for decades. Let's go ahead and play part of that MSNBC piece to analyze it.
Worst persons, and also my special comment on Mr. McCain's ambition ahead. First time for Countdown's number three story tonight. The headlines breaking in the administration's 50 running scandals. Bush. Number three, support the troops gate. Remember, that is a brand name, not actual support. 20 soldiers at the Army Wounded Vets Medical Center at Fort Sill in Oklahoma, telling USA Today that the facility there is, just like part of the Walter Reed Center for Wounded Vets in Washington was, infested by mold. Ventilation ducts were reported encrusted with the mold. Ventilation ducts in two of the barracks, each is made up of 48 rooms filled with wounded soldiers and their family. The commanding officer at Fort Sill says they're working on it now. Number two, that's why they call it Counterintelligence Gate. The Pentagon has a new unit. The Defense Intelligence Agency, Defense Counterintelligence and Human Intelligence Center. It will have within it an office dedicated to strategic offensive counterintelligence operations. As part of the cardinal tenet of American law, such operations, spying on people who are known or suspected to be foreign intelligence officers or connected to foreign intelligence or international terrorist activities, that will, of course, be carried out abroad. Also in this country. And number one, in case that's not direct enough, domestic spying gate. Now that the Democrats were nice enough to fold up on FISA, the issue is all contained now, right? Not exactly. The Justice Department wants to revise the federal government's rules for intelligence gathering by state and local police, making it easier to share anything those police find about U.S. citizens with the federal government and all the intelligence agencies. To let all those federal agencies retain all that information for as much as a decade. Not that the local police would be able to do anything about it if they didn't like it, since this would apply to all 18,000 local agencies who get any kind of funding for the feds. The point of this? To increase our security and counter terror threats? No. To pass these changes before Mr. Bush leaves office so that the next president can't do a damned thing about unraveling this disaster, which is, appropriately enough, an embryonic police state.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier. Just so long as I'm the dictator.
Let me explain to the police out there what this is for. This is so they can take your grandmother and grandfather's pension fund. It's so they can take your pension fund. It's so they can enforceably inject you, as they tried 5 years ago, with smallpox vaccine. But they gave 4,000 people, and a whole bunch of them died of the 4,000 that took it, so the cops said no. The firemen said no. It's so they can make you do it. Do you understand? You are building your own cage. You are going along with all of this. This isn't freedom. This isn't liberty. Now, they always tell you about the domestic spying after it's already been in place. Look, in 1978, the state police in Texas were caught with files on over 100,000 Texans, prominent preachers, politicians, spying, listening to everyone. This is nothing new, ladies and gentlemen. And these criminal groups use this intelligence gathering for business, for blackmail, for narcotics trafficking. I mean, even Fahrenheit 9/11 that came out 4 years ago reports the local peace group that bakes cookies once a week, they had the local sheriff's department with a federal grant spying on them. You understand? And trying to get them to carry out violence, of course.
Do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now?
But you got someone to blame.
Got someone to blame. You said one love,
one life,
one life. When it's one need
in the night,
in the night. One love, we get to share it.
It leaves you, baby.
It leaves you, baby, if you don't care for it. Did I disappoint you or leave a bad taste in your mouth? Act like you never had love, and you want me to go without.
NATO suspends.
Too late.
Formal contract with Russia.
Tonight.
Brussels, Belgium.
Drag the past out.
NATO pulled its punches against Russia on Tuesdays, suspending formal contacts as punishment for the Georgia invasion. Did you hear that? That NATO is pulling its ambassadors from Russia? I mean, that's the next step before war. But bucking U.S. pressure for more severe penalties. More severe. The Russian ambassador to NATO played down the impact of the emergency meeting of the Western Alliance. The mountain gave birth to a mouse, said Dmitry Rogozin. Although the allies said they would not convene any more meetings of the NATO-Russian Council until Russian troops withdraw from Georgia, they bowed to concerns from Europe, which depends heavily on Russia for energy, and stopped short of adopting specific long-term steps to punish Moscow for its actions. You got to love that Associated Press headline. It's every headline is punish Russia. Russia's preemptive out-of-the-blue invasion. Russia attacked Georgia. Man, are we going to let Russia get away with the crime they've committed? But they know it's a gullible public. And so they can blame Russia. for what they have done. And move weapon systems, even more weapon systems, in all around them, escalating things. Meanwhile, Merrill Lynch, Wachovia, in danger of failing, says top strategist. Merrill Lynch, Wachovia, and other financial companies are at risk of failure as the cost of raising capital soars at a time when the banks need to pay settlements over auction rate securities. David Kotick, chairman and chief investment officer of Cumberland Advisors, told CNBC today. I think the financial problem is halfway through the cycle. There's another shoe to drop ahead of us, and it could be more severe, Kodak told Worldwide Exchange. We have the video clip up on Infowars.com right now. And it goes on from there. The cash companies need to shore up bad investments. It's up to about $500 million. We'll probably top $100 million before it's all over. Billion. They've already pumped in something like $900 million. And he went on to say that it's Merrill Lynch and Wachovia could go under basically at any time. Meanwhile, repossession of houses was up 55% last month alone. We just got those numbers on Monday. Bankruptcies are way up. These are the worst economic numbers we've seen in decades, and we haven't even begun to go down into the trough yet, according to all the experts. I mean, they're all agreeing on this. And then, meanwhile, the dollar that dropped, you know, to 60%+, it gained a couple pennies back, and they're saying, oh, dollar's strong again, everything's fine. Well, all the fundamentals show it's going to go down even further as they print more currency, as they issue more liquidity, as they pay off more debts through the national debt. That is, private banks are bailed out, foreign companies are bailed out on the taxpayer dime. We're shouldered with that. As they race to build more prisons, race to militarize police, race to roll out microwave guns and sound cannons and secret detainment facilities, as they race to hire felons and set the precedent for private mercenary forces to engage in gun confiscation, as they announce the National Guard's door-to-door gun confiscation in Illinois, as they do knock-and-talk gun confiscations coast to coast, just there, they are heating up the police state as fast as they can, getting you ready. Because you're not going to like what they're going to do to you. Only politically exposing them, only showing their agenda, will stop them. If they're able to pose as the saviors, they've got their ear to the ground. If they think you're going to buy it, they're going to launch it. If the crooks think they can fool you, they're going to drop the hammer. Do you understand? That's why we've got to expose government-sponsored terror. Expose what they've done with the banking system by design, another controlled system. If we don't, they're going to win. Ron Paul's coming up, a lot of other big guests. Infowars.com, stay with us.
Way up north,
to Alaska.
Way up
north, to Alaska.
North to Alaska. To go north, the rest is on.
Carol Paul, the wife of Dr. Ron Paul,
Big Sam left Seattle.
You know, had three emergency surgeries and was in critical condition. She's a little bit better now. He is at the hospital with her now. We even have the hospital room number. We can call it, but we're not going to call. That, you know, we've got Jesse Benton's backup. Ron Paul's supposed to be calling in any time now, but he's got to get away to a place in the hospital to come on the show. We really appreciate that. And if he has to come on in the next hour, we'll push Paul Watson back because we've got to get Ron Paul's take on what's happening with the economy, what's happening in Georgia, what's happening with the Iran attack, the intel he's getting. And what a great guy to come on this show, even when his wife has been fighting for her health, to put it lightly. So Dr. Paul scheduled to be joining us right now. We'll see when he makes it. Paul Watson in 30 minutes, Jonathan Elinoff in a couple hours, and Wayne Madsen with big breaking news, Professor Peter Dale Scott, author Peter Dale Scott, as well today. I do want to encourage the listeners to pre-order Jason Burmes' new film. This is Jason going out on his own. This is his standalone film. And we helped him make it at his request. But I really like Jason. I have to say he's my favorite of the trio. I like the other guys too, but he really is a great guy. And his film is excellent. It turned out better than I thought it would be with his directorial debut, Fabled Enemies. It's a very good documentary, and it you know, our past films covered how they blew the towers up and where they put the, you know, how they did the bombs and the NORAD drills and the stand down and the fact that they were caught lying or they had the motive and but the history of government-sponsored terror. That's what my films have covered, and they've been very effective. But Fabled Enemies gets into the hard, cold facts. How the hijackers in detail were trained at U.S. military bases, how they were really decoys hired by the U.S. government with Mr. Springman, the head of the embassy visa division, going public about how he was ordered to let them in and basically told their CIA assets, their terror designation is a cover. It's got Ray McGovern in it. It's got a Cynthia McKinney. It's just an excellent film, Fabled Enemies. We went and interviewed them. Also, it shows you Israel's involvement. It shows how Israel was shadowing the whole thing and deeply penetrating intelligence and how they got the codes. How only Israel could get the daily White House top ultra secret, above top secret codes for the stand down in Washington, and how they got the transponder code for Air Force One. Remember all that? Well, that supposedly happened because Al-Qaeda had penetrated the White House. Yeah, right. So, I mean, it just covers so much more. It covers a lot of areas that aren't well known that is some of the most powerful information. Fabled Enemies, available at Infowars.com. You can pre-order the DVD. Also get big discounts on Loose Change Final Cut or Truth Rising when you get them together with Fabled Enemies, now available at Infowars.com. And the DVDs will ship out to you September 1st on that Monday. So if you pre-order, you will get the video first mailed to you. And then, of course, you can also get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. If you have a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, you get Truth Rising in super high quality, Terror Storm, Terror Storm Final Cut, Endgame 1.5, an hour and a half of extras that aren't even on the official DVD, my weekly TV reports, the fourth hour we always stream live over the web. Truth Rising, Terror Storm, Endgame, Fabled Enemies, first in super high quality. I mean, it looks like DVD. It's not as good, but it's almost as good. At PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cent a day membership, and your support, your membership with PrisonPlanet.tv makes what we do here possible, allows us to fund this very expensive operation. So I want to thank all the members. It's also a armory in the information war. Thousands of videos we've posted. All 19 of my films and Burmese's new film that'll be the 20th. We're producing it. The Sunday show videotape, special in-studio guest interviews, behind the scenes, expanded extras, PrisonPlanet.tv. PrisonPlanet.tv. 15 cents a day, $5.95 for a monthly membership, or get a yearly membership and get 3 months free on the already low, low price. I've really been forgetting to plug the films and plug PrisonPlanet.tv, and that's such an effective part of our arsenal and what we do in the fight. And with Truth Rising and now with Fabled Enemies, we have DivX versions, which most, I keep saying half, but most of the new DVD players have the DivX format. And so that means you can put it on a normal CD. On a normal CD, you can put a whole bunch of films. Depends on their size, but scores of them. Well, you can just take cheap, regular disc and burn a DivX version that looks amazingly clear. I mean, we've been watching it here on big screen 40-something-inch TV that we have, you know, in our editing suite, so we can check the quality. We need a big screen TV to be able to blow it up to make sure stuff looks good on a big screen TV, because that's where it really tests the resolution and the pixelation. And our DivX looks almost as good as regular DVD. I mean, not as good, but almost as good. Obviously, a lot of our footage is shot in high def, and then when you see it crunched to DivX and blown up on a high def plasma screen TV, it doesn't look as good. But it's very watchable, very nice, and I'm done babbling about it. Bottom line, people need to get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership. I mean, it just gets better and better. I want to thank all the members that were members 4 years ago when we had one little server and it would slow down at night when you were on it. And then we had two fancy servers and then four fancy servers. And then we graduated in the 21st century and got a CDN about a year ago. Now we have two CDNs. And so it's just rip roaring. And so we just continue to invest in making it better and better because it is a huge conduit in getting the truth out. And I've already said that. It's just any subject you want. Any topic you want. You can burn it to disk, give it to people, make a file, email it to somebody. It's just a labyrinth of information. One thing I want to do is hire another person to work on PrisonPlanet.tv to better categorize all the videos, better promote them. I mean, there's just so much there. And my book, 9/11, Descent into Tyranny, is about to go out of print. There's about 200 left of those, by the way. In fact, I need to tell my shopping cart guy, I need to go ahead and just jack the price up on those because it's worth it and it raises capital for us. When the last 100 and like sign them and number them is the last 100. It's kind of sad. And plus people deserve the value of the last 100. People want that collector. So we'll do that. I know Tex Mars just ordered 200. I think we're almost out. Actually, I better run in there and do an accounting of that before they're gone. Because when Descent into Tyranny's gone, it's gone. No more Alex Jones books. For about a year, Paul Watson's book has been out of print. Ordered Out of Chaos. We printed 7,000 of those. And they're all gone. Took like four or five years to sell them. They're gone. That is an e-book. Descent into Tyranny is an ebook on PrisonPlanet.tv. That's my whole point in getting off into that. John, I guess Ron Paul obviously hasn't called, has he? Yeah, no, let's not call the hospital number, even though we're authorized to. I just, you know what? He's so professional. He wouldn't be calling unless Carol is having a bad time. And I almost feel guilty even having him on, though they've been asking us to have him on because they got their big event coming up. No, this is a big show. I want to promote it. I almost don't even want to bug Jesse Benton about this, but I also want to get Ron Paul's take on Georgia. We haven't had him on in about 3 weeks. He was on right before all this started, about 3 or 4 days before it started. I guess he was on the Monday before it all started. And I really want to get his analysis on that, because not just because I want his take on it and his analysis, but because then whatever he has to say on the show will get a lot of attention, and then people will... For some reason, I mean, Ron Paul say something somewhere else, it doesn't get a lot of attention. They know the stuff he says here on this show, because it's so big. Thank God we're in this position, and the show's just exploding, that things are actually able to get out to a larger audience. And that's why we shouldn't take any of this for granted. Any of the time we have to warn people before the globalists stage a nuke attack, or a bioweapons release, or before they pull the rug out and there's a complete depression, or before they start a war with Russia or Iran, and people email me and say, oh, you're a fearmonger. How is it fearmongering when we know the government, the criminals that run it, for 50-plus years have been testing deadly biological weapons, radiological systems, and chemical weapons on the American people and the troops and the police and the military? For some reason, their most dutiful servants... Their most loyal, dog-like servants, that's actually a compliment, are the ones they enjoy hurting the most. It's so sick. Well, the New World Order has a weird philosophy. They say, if you're dumb and let us do it to you, you're fair game. I mean, how is it not scary that there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of separate programs? Some may have a dozen, some may have 5,000 people, 1,000 involved, some may have 110,000 involved. We've listed them, we've covered them, it's in Endgame, all mainstream news admitting that they strapped down children and stuck ice picks in their brain in front of classrooms thousands of times. Oh, you don't believe me. Just type lobotomy ice pick. You can watch black and white films from the 30s and 40s. as a crying child going, look how they're insane. Look how they're irrationally scared. And they just jab the ice pick in to the frontal lobe and laugh as the demonic psychiatrist students laugh and giggle and snicker. See, these are professions which they're allowed to carry out their black ops. It's psychopaths creating criminal guilds. Or just type in government footage of shock therapy. Or type in children radiated to death in atomic experiments. I mean, go look at it. Go look at the photos of a two-year-old in a chamber about to be radiated to death. What is that? Is that fear-mongering? You bet. We better be concerned and scared of these people and fight them and stand up against them and just vomit on them, basically, and say, we vomit you out. We are not part of you. And we don't trust you or anything you do or say because you've committed millions of crimes we know about. 500,000+ women from the 20s until 1987, last state to publicly stop doing it, it still goes on, was Oregon. And they'd go grab teenage girls out of class that made bad grades and they'd take them and sterilize them. And then if they complained about it, they would just grab them and drug them for a few years. And where do you think psychopathic people that want to rape people go? They go get jobs at mental institutions because they can say, oh, they're just crazy. Where do you think pedophiles go? They go to become CPS workers and truancy officers. And that's in criminology. That's just a fact. Don't roll your eyes, police. You must not have taken any criminology. So this is the type of stuff we deal with. And the crimes go on and on and on. Just in the last few years, New York Daily News and a few others have reported they take children and they test pesticides and drugs on them till they die. And we know about that because even the sicko CPS workers who were taking the children and then selling them to the state to private medical firms, even they freaked out when they saw them killing the children and said and went and said, is this authorized? I mean, does it concern you that our criminal government snuck attacked Russia 2 weeks ago? Does it concern you that our criminal government is so evil that they actually have convinced the public through deception that Russia attacked Georgia premeditatedly? AP today. It says NATO has withdrawn its ambassadors from Russia. That's a big deal to suspend diplomatic links. That always happens right before a war. In punitive steps to punish Moscow for its actions. See how everything's its actions, its actions. Oh, and people just hear that. Oh, Russia's being punished for its actions. Over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, I don't know what's bigger, the sneak attack on Russia or the media, the dominant media, lying. I mean, does that make you sleep good at night, people that work for the government, people who rationalize the neocons that tune in and make jokes and talk about how they want to kill me on their websites all day? Or now the liberals calling me a fascist because I'm telling you Barack Obama's a complete warmongering fraud just like John McCain? I mean, I won't buy into your delusions. Does it make you feel good knowing the corporate media lies that bad and twists and spins? I mean, our country's in a lot of trouble. When the lies are that blatant, and they're just getting worse and worse, more and more obvious. And you know why it's happening? Because the establishment is going for broke. They have thrown in all their force behind the New World Order. They know they're in trouble. That only encourages them. That's only the hellfires licking at them, lashing them as they pull this carriage over the cliff. That only makes the froth fly out of their horses' mouths that much thicker. The veins bulge out on their chest and legs. Imagine them as four black horses drawing a carriage with us in it over the cliff. It only intensifies their lying and twisting and spinning and every form of disinformation and forgery and fraud. but as above, so below. You look at the general public below, more fraud, more scams, more cheating, more laziness, more. And you've still got a lot of hardworking, good, decent people that keep this nation together and keep it moving forward to some degree. We are a nation in massive decline. We are a nation imploding on every front. And we have to admit how bad we are before we can set about fixing it. We have to admit we have a problem, like a drug addict, like an alcoholic. And we have to admit that what we're doing is wrong. But instead, we're just lying to ourselves, and we want the delusion. We want to be lied to. We don't want to admit what we've done wrong. And that's why we're in a lot of trouble. All right, we're going to come back. Ron Paul should be popping in later. This happens quite often between Congress, his wife being sick, the Campaign for Liberty, but he's scheduled, so is Paul Watson.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a-going dry.
Ron Paul is calling in the next 10 minutes. He just called us.
The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go down.
I'm going to treat you to a minute or two, a junior.
I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. Grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
'Cause you can't starve us out.
Because you can't starve us out, and you can't make us run. Those wooden and mold boys raised on shotguns.
We say grace.
We say grace.
We say a minute ain't in the back. We don't
give a damn. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies.
We can skin a buck.
And we can skin a buck. We can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive.
And the establishment doesn't like that.
Country folks can survive.
They want you gelded, neutered in the city.
I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly.
You want to beat the New World Order? Make the countryside survive.
My grandpa taught me how to live off the land.
Why do you think they're banning all forms of hunting in England? To destroy that culture. They hate.
He used to send me pictures of the Broadway.
Anyone who's self-sufficient.
And I'd send him some homemade wine.
Why didn't the British government in 97 launch the foot and mouth bio attack? Oh, they were caught.
Killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life.
They don't want you being able to stand up, be independent.
I'd love to spit some beef.
They want you in the city where they can suck off you.
And shoot him with my old 45.
Now they've got the animal ID and the premises ID to shut down the farms. You got to stand up against them. Can't let them win. Make us run, and you don't like that, do you?
We say grace, we say ma'am, and you ain't into that, but don't give a damn. We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive.
can survive. Country folks can survive.
Man, I never played the whole thing. This here, Hillbilly, stump jumping, tobacco chewing. What's that thing Willie always says? I just love it once I start playing. I mean, we need to queue up later. The old Eastbound and Down, that little Smokey and the Bandit for you. Yeah, we're not going to stop. We're not going to back down from anybody. You pick a fight with the American people, you pick a fight with me, you're going to get one right back. So don't sit there and whine while you get your butt kicked. Just realize you're a punk.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Into hour number two, Jonathan Ellenoff's going to be joining us in 1 hour to talk about the latest police state developments in Denver ahead of this giant police state promotion that is the DNC. Then Wayne Madsen, 30 minutes after that, dealing with threats to bloggers. The NSA reportedly talking about killing bloggers. Why don't we just, quote, kill them? That's what they do in Iraq. They just kill alternative newspaper people. And Peter Del Scott in the fourth hour. Ron Paul scheduled to be calling in the next 5 minutes. And also Paul Watson at the bottom of this hour, 4:30 as well. Got Steve coming on. Later in the week, I'd like to have them pop in and visit with us. Really, the big news is on the military front is that NATO has suspended formal contacts with Russia, kicking their Russian ambassador to NATO out. That is always a foreshadowing of intensifying physical conflict. It's always been in the past a very serious move, and they say because of Russia's unwarranted sneak attack on Georgia is why they're doing that. Knowing that the public think that Georgia, USA was attacked. Merrill Wachovia in danger of failing. Top strategist says huge news there. Also, MSNBC reporting a police state is being set up. Also, New York City settles with anti-war protesters for $2 million. They would not allow anyone in the city to have anti-war signs anywhere. The city would not, quote, issue permits. See, first they say, oh, you got to have a permit to protest and be on the sidewalk. See, permits were just first for parades blocking streets, which sounds reasonable in big cities. But then it's, well, you got to have a permit, period, and we're not issuing them. And then they arrested thousands and beat them and everything else, and they've lost a whole bunch of lawsuits there. They just lost another $2 million lawsuit. But don't worry, they'll just squeeze it out of slaves on the streets of New York. Continuing with just amazing report here in front of me, the FBI admits it has no case against Dr. Ivins. The FBI has admitted it has no case against Ivins, as summarized in an article in the Washington Post, and they also accidentally destroyed the only samples of anthrax from the government lab. Well, they had to do that because then they couldn't have proof and link it up to the anthrax that was sent out that was weaponized in the U.S. government. So they have to claim someone else made this in their basement. I mean, just incredible lying. And even my mother-in-law, who's smart, but, you know, somewhat establishment, believes in the system, calls up yesterday going, oh, my God, the government's covering up what really happened with the anthrax. What do you think? You think they did it, basically? I mean, you know, everybody's waking up. I mean, this is getting too obvious. Then they said he's always been the only suspect. They knew he did it 4 years ago, but they were busy just 6 months ago still persecuting Dr. Stephen Hatfield. See, there's some people still have a memory. Some people still pay attention and are going, wait, the lies are just getting so thick here. Meanwhile, the government weapons expert who broke in after he'd been fired at Fort Detrick into the area with the anthrax, he's working in another bioweapons lab in New Mexico, and no one is even talking about him, Dr. Philip Zank. But we are, and it is covered. Oh, I forgot. What? How timely. Fabled Enemies, Jason Burmes' new film that comes out in just 10 days. We're going to release it a little early on the 31st, but officially it'll be out September 1st at PrisonPlanet.tv. There is a whole, I'd say, 15-minute segment in the two-hour film on the anthrax, and guess who one of the presenters in the film is, one of the experts interviewed on the Israeli connection, also the anthrax and the rest of it. That is good old Mike Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. So I had forgotten to let you know that we also in the new film cover the anthrax attack and who really launched that. We'll be right back with Congressman Ron Paul, who just called in from the hospital with his beloved Carol. And we really appreciate him taking the time out to do that. We'll be back in 3 minutes with the congressman.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Congressman Ron Paul with us. We'll be posting this interview in full at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. He joins us to give us an update on his wife, Carol, wonderful person we're all praying for, then the Russia-Georgia situation, the economy, and the upcoming police state situation with the microwave guns, the secret FEMA camp now exposed in Denver. We've got him for one segment because he's obviously got to be there at the hospital in South Texas with his wife, Carol. Congressman, thank you for breaking your silence after the last week of your wife being so ill here on this radio show. Thank you for joining us.
Well, it's good to be back with you, and I feel a lot better, even though we had some tough days. She was on a breathing machine for 12 days, and she got off the machine yesterday, and they got her out of bed yesterday. So I'm feeling a lot better, and I appreciate everybody's concerns.
Well, you're a medical doctor, but for those that don't know, getting someone off a respirator and getting them up, this is huge news.
Yes, it is. It's a big, big step, and you can imagine what it's like to lie flat on your back for 12 days. One thing she said was, "Wow, I'm weak." she's doing well.
Well, I've talked to people that have been on respirators. It's also very painful to have it pushing your lungs full.
Yeah,
Wow, she's a trooper. Well, I'm sure the prayers had a great effect, and folks, keep those prayers up. Now, to kill any rumors, you are currently going to be at the big rally for the Republic with Jesse Ventura and all these huge musical guests. You're going to be there, barring some turn for the worse.
That is right, and things are looking better there for a couple of days. I didn't know what I could do or would do if she were like that, but she isn't. She's getting better, and she'd want me to be there, so I have all the plans. I've been talking to staff more now about the details of the schedule, and it's all coming together. And, throughout the campaign, I was worried about the rally. Some days we only had 3 days to put things together, and yet, the people always showed up. So I'm optimistic that the people are going to show up. You want to see your crowd, and you want to fill it, because, you know, if it's slightly less full than it could be, you know, then the media say, oh, it didn't show up.
Well, I mean, you don't have a lot
of thing.
There's 14,000 tickets. I mean, you don't have many more to sell here, do you?
No, a couple thousand, and we're going to probably get the students come back into town that day, I think September 1st, and that's where we get a lot of support. You know how many young people have joined us.
Oh,
so
yes.
I think the young people, when they come back to town and realize that there are still some standing room positions, they're going to come.
Well, there's no doubt that it's going to oversell. I mean, it's going to be a barn burner, and people always wait to the last minute. Ladies and gentlemen, a week and a half out, they've only got about 20% or 15% of the tickets left. You're not going to get them if you don't buy them very, very soon. And before the congressman leaves us, we'll tell you where to get those tickets. Now, let's get into the really big issues here. You have been talking about how the West has been encircling Russia, moving weapons systems in, the neocons, Israel, NATO moving advisors in, clearly ordering the sneak attack. That's now come out. The media spinning it, saying that Russia attacked. I mean, total contempt for the public and the facts. Can you give us your geopolitical analysis, Congressman, on what we're looking at here with Georgia and now the Russian ambassadors kicked out of NATO this morning, according to the Associated Press?
You know, I think this is a good example of why we argue the case for non-intervention. We are in places where we shouldn't be, and it just leads to a lot of problems. But But also, it shows you how the two parties are just thinking exactly alike. Both McCain and Obama says the same thing. Send them more money. Send them more support. Send them troops if necessary. And being very aggressive. That to me is just so typical of the problems that we face. And you were right in your opening statement there that it was the Georgians that started the military attack. And yet, when you think about what's happened in the last week or so from the media, how many reports have we heard even suggest that maybe there was a balanced position on this? It was 100% essentially said, it was all the Russians' fault. And all they should start thinking about is, how would we react if the Russians were in Mexico stirring up trouble on the borders and claiming New Mexico as part of Mexico? You know, something like that. We'd be livid and infuriated, and yet we are up butting against the boundaries all around the Soviets. We're taking that oil from the Caspian Sea and running it through Georgia, and we have a puppet government there. And these are the unintended consequences, maybe intended by some people, who knows. But it's about oil, and it's about our empire, and it's about the establishment running roughshod over the American people.
What do you think the New World Order crowd, because it's not just the neocons, NATO's behind it, Israel, their foreign minister and their defense minister are not even Georgians, and Israel bragged in Herats they had 1,000 troops involved, 1,000 Israeli mercenaries. What were they thinking to gain from launching a dead-of-night sneak attack on South Ossetia and even having, this is confirmed, Georgian peacekeepers in with the Russian peacekeepers actually stabbing them in special forces maneuvers in the back?
Well, obviously they condoned it and encouraged it, and why, you know, because it doesn't work out so well, even from their viewpoint, you wonder why they do it. I mean, I guess they deceived themselves. I mean, look at the mess. They probably actually believe that they could conquer Iraq and solidify power there, permanently control the oil, but it didn't work out exactly that way, and I'm sure they are just distorted thinking. But now we, the people, will have to suffer the consequences. I mean, when Obama comes up and says, well, what we need to do is immediately send them $1 billion, I'm all for that. Does he ever say, where are we going to get the $1 billion? How are we going to squeeze it out of the American people? How are we going to take it out of the pockets of the American people? And they're all in big trouble. Oh, well, we'll print the money. Oh, we'll print the money. Oh, then all your bills are going to go up because the dollar is going to go down. They never talk about that. And that's why our revolution that's going on now just has to be successful, because I think it is a growing number of us who are just sick and tired of what we're getting.
Absolutely. What would you do as president? I mean, you're no longer running now, but what would you advise if they would listen to you? And obviously our listeners can then go out on the campaign trail and call the media, and then this can be put in an article, and then we can push it to the public. What would you do in a relationship with Russia? What would you do in hindsight, but now currently, since this new Cold War has been started?
Well, we should talk to the Russians, and we should deal with them and be friends with them and trade with them and tell them that we have no intention of intimidating you. We don't want to put missiles right up at your border claiming that we're going to protect Europe against the Iranians. The Iranians don't have missiles. They have no nuclear weapons. They can't even make gasoline for themselves. So it's just a farce for us to say that we're there. And I tell the Soviets or the Russians that we have no intention. We're going to take those missiles out, and we're getting out of NATO. We don't even care about NATO. Instead of expanding NATO and trying to get Europe to intimidate you and surround you, I would say that we ought to just back off. If we don't get out of NATO the first week, just say, look, we're not going to keep pressing to get all Eastern Europe to belong to NATO. Fortunately, the other European nations didn't accept the membership of Georgia, or our problems would be much worse.
All right, a few final questions moving quickly here. The economy, they're talking about MSNBC, CNBC, top analysts, about Merrill Lynch collapsing, Wachovia collapsing. They're saying now, after telling us 6 months ago that the worst was over, that the worst is to come. We have a respite in dollar plunging, but it's still low. Where do you see all this going?
Well, I think we have a long way to go. They can prop things up, and they can sort of fool the markets, and, you know, the plunge protection team can get in there and buy and sell and manipulate markets. But ultimately, the market is all-powerful. I would say that at the very, very most, we've only had 25% of the correction that is necessary. So I think we have a long way to go. And as long as government does everything to prop up bad investments, it makes it that much longer. And the longer they allow wait for these corrections to make, the worse they are. And I think this is what we're witnessing right now. That instead of a small number of companies and banks going bankrupt, now they're going to prolong this, and it's going to be very, very painful. I think this could last a decade or longer before all this correction. Japan took a long time. Their market collapsed in, I think it was 1989. And they still essentially haven't recovered the financial benefits of their markets yet.
So this is going to worsen the long term?
Pardon me?
You think this will worsen the long term?
Oh yeah, I think it's going to get much worse. Even though in the short term they may be able to prop up and fool some people, but I think what they're doing is just prolonging the agony. To me, it's sort of, and I use the analogy of a drug addict. You know, they just keep giving the drug addict another fix. He feels better, but eventually the patient dies if you do that. So,
do you think
that we're going to kill the dollar?
Is this being propped up for the election?
I think they always do that. And also, I think maybe this Georgia incident could be part of the goal of the most radical neocons claim that McCain benefits from this.
Congressman, we only have a minute and a half left. Folks need to go to rallyfortherepublic.com or to the other Ron Paul websites, link through and get tickets. Keith Olbermann admits we're now going into a police state. The Justice Department is now announcing they want to turn local police totally into federal spies, spying on Americans. They've now discovered a secret camp for 5,000 people in Denver with local police running a secret camp. And now MSNBC says we're going into a police state. Everything you've been warning us about, what should we do on that front?
We have to confront them, and this is difficult, because if you confront right now with all your rights guaranteed by the Constitution, you're liable to end up in prison. You know, if you protest the tax code, which, in, you know, the way they collect taxes, unconstitutional, and they have all the guns, and they put you in prison, same way with the monetary system. So I have resorted to doing what I do. I mean, I've been fighting for the enforcement of our Constitution through the legislative process, and hopefully we can have a change. That's why I'm working so hard with the Campaign for Liberty and putting this organization, you know, throughout the country so that we can galvanize and energize an army of people to bring about changes peacefully. But if it doesn't happen just because of what they're doing, I'm afraid it could lead to violence.
Should we physically stand up instead of go into a total Nazi Germany if that happens?
Well, no, I think eventually we will, and I probably will be talking about this at the convention. Is when you
hold on, Congressman. Hold on. Ron Paul's campaign manager died of pneumonia, working himself to death. His wife has had a pacemaker put in and now fought for her life. No doubt the campaign trail is grueling. He's sacrificed so much for us. Finishing up in 1 minute, because you've got to go back to your wife. Finishing up with the idea of, if they ignore the Constitution, Bill of Rights, our votes, the states, what do we then do? Do we stand up physically?
Well, there's always that possibility that time will come. I am working hard to try to avoid that, but I do believe that in the near future, many of us will have to make a decision whether we'll practice civil disobedience. And, of course, I believe in that. I believe that Gandhi and Martin Luther King did bring about positive changes, and they weren't violent people. But when the state goes off track, you usually do have to stand up. Excuse me.
And you're going to be talking about that at the Rally for the Republic.
Right.
Your tickets.
And when civil disobedience should be practiced, it's an individual personal decision. But, yes, this is an historic event coming up September 2nd, and I expect that we're going to have a grand rally. Excuse me.
RonPaul.org, RonPaul.org, or RallyForTheRepublic.com. Congressman, we're praying for you. Thank you for your steadfast defense of humanity and liberty. Take care.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul there joining us. One of the first interviews he's done since he basically had to rush his wife to the hospital with very serious intestinal problems, and she came very close to not making it. He was on a ventilator. for 8 days, ladies and gentlemen. They finally got the tube out of her nose yesterday, got her up and walking around. So this is one of the first interviews. He just came back to the airwaves last night and today. So here he is with us, and we really appreciate him. And I'm not going to the Rally for the Republic because I'm going to be going to Denver, hanging out with Luke Radowski and the We Are Change guys and Jonathan Elenoff out there. Jonathan Elenoff joins us in about 35 minutes. But Jason Burmess will be sitting in here as the pilot while I'm co-pilot out in an InfoWar bombing run, peacefully spreading knowledge and information in the InfoWar, destroying the lies and propaganda of the New World Order, getting a close-up look at that FEMA camp, the microwave guns, the sound cannons, everything in Denver. And I'll be leaving this weekend and coming back the next weekend. Jason Burmess will also be sitting in on the Sunday show this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m., and I'll be calling in with a report from Denver for you there as well. There's a big concert with Rage Against the Machine and Flobots and others. That's where the rubber bullets might fly. We'll be there covering that. We'll be there basically sneaking around, videotaping the police, tracking them. We need you to come out en masse to Denver. And nonchalantly, some of you, we need, you know, we need InfoWar agents. We need Liberty Defenders. To counter the military operatives, the defense establishment, you know, defense intelligence people that will be out provocateuring. We need people to follow the worst anarchists back to where they're staying. We need to catch them on video, being given orders by police. When they arrest provocateurs, we need to try to stay on them no matter what. You want to bring them down, folks. We've already done this in Canada and other places, in Italy, in Europe, and in the U.S., and it's really hurting them bad. Be wearing a suit and tie. Act like you're an Obama-oid. Have a little camera. Be inside the convention center, inside the main lines. Bivouac yourself near police. Hang out. And you'll see little anarchists come over when, and they'll look around. An intelligence officer will stand out, and a lot of times even in uniform. They'll give them orders, then they'll slip out. And then you'll have on video them getting orders. Then you'll see them provocateuring. It hurts them. It is devastating. It's a form of terrorism. It's against our First Amendment. They stage these events, and they stage and hire provocateurs to try to discredit and give the image of protesters as violent, masked people breaking things so the police have a pretext, a lot of times not even knowing, to attack peaceful demonstrators to then create a chilling effect to destroy rallies and demonstrations and petition for redress of grievances. Also, if you see somebody hitting cops and then starting fights, you see them drag them off, do whatever you have to calmly. This is hunting. To get through the line or to set up somewhere with a far zoom to see them take them behind a truck, and then later they'll take their mask off. It'll be the same person, same boots, and then show them come out from behind. We did that in Montebello. That's been done. Our people, our great folks, have done that in Seattle. I mean, for now, 8-9 years, we've been catching them. And it's so vital to defeat enemy operations. It is, and before we could report this in 99, and I could make a self-made film, like Police State 2, The Takeover, and it would get some circulation and wake some up, and then it was one of the first videos to go viral on the web. But it isn't enough. Now the alternative media is so big that if we catch provocateuring, and I can't do it all, I need your help. I've been meaning to enlist people, and I just haven't thought to do it on air. That doesn't mean get orders from me. It doesn't mean even get to me and give me the video. Don't wait. Get it up. Explain what it is. Link it to other videos of the police being caught doing it. This can really hurt them bad. This can really defend the First Amendment. That's our job, defending the Bill of Rights, defending America, defending our birthright, defending liberty. PrisonPlanet.com and PrisonPlanet.tv, my websites, under his tutelage. He has just really done a great job with the sites, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.net. He's with us for the next 30 minutes to talk about Georgia, the police state, the economy, all the key issues that are most important in the mind of Paul Watson. Then the front lines of the New World Order activities with Jonathan Elenoff next hour in Denver, warming up for continual on-the-ground coverage there, including live video feed coverage at InfoWars.com. Paul Watson, a lot is happening.
Hello, Alex. Good to be back.
Good to have you here with us. All right, give us your analysis, your take on where the Russia situation is going. Then let's get into the economy, the police state, all of it.
Well, the Russia situation basically started for me when a couple of Fridays ago we were updating the websites in the morning and we read stories about Georgian forces attacking and killing Russian peacekeepers. But by the time we went and looked at the news again in the afternoon, it became the fact that Russia had attacked Georgia, and the original stories about Georgia attacking the Russian peacekeepers had all but disappeared. And of course, that was timed to coincide with the opening ceremony of the Beijing Olympics. So by the time that Saturday morning came around, it was the evil Russians that had started the war, killed civilians, and they were being painted as the villains of the entire piece by the Western media.
And that's ongoing now. Break that down.
Well, there's numerous examples. BBC, Sky News, CNN have all used footage of the ruins of the South Ossetian provincial capital, which was destroyed, 70% destroyed. They've all used footage of that destruction and said in the narrative that the footage represents the aftermath of the Russian attack on Gori, the Georgian town of Gori. And to have three separate Western news networks carry out that scam is telling about the way in which the propaganda war is being waged.
Yeah, they're not liberal, they're not conservative, they're not, they are Pentagon run, and that's come out in past years. This is just complete and total lies and contempt for the people to lie at this magnitude.
Right, and I mean, it's not as if we haven't seen it before with the fake concentration camp in the Bosnia situation back in the mid-90s, where ITN, which is another British news organization, filmed a refugee camp from the inside looking out and then splashed it across the newspapers the next day that it was a concentration camp. And that, of course, started the massacre of the Serbians, which was a NATO operation. But from the perspective from outside the US in this Russia-Georgia situation is that it's basically the decline and the next stage in the decline and fall of the Anglo-American empire, because every time that Bush or Condoleezza Rice comes out and orders the Russians to pull their troops out or do anything else, come to the table, the Russians simply ignore them and do whatever is on their agenda. So the result of that is that it completely discredits the American empire as it has been created and makes America look weak.
And now the unprecedented move, I mean, this normally is a prelude to war, they have kicked the Russian ambassadors out of NATO.
Right, so it's basically a redrawing of the lines. It's the emergence of Russia and China as the new empire and the decline and fall of the Anglo-American empire.
But even during the Cold War, Russia had ambassadors to NATO. That's part of detente. Part of talking. This is unprecedented. This is a message as they roll weapons and troops into the region surrounding Russia. And now we have the number two general in Russia coming out and saying that they have are getting intel that you reported yesterday at prisonplanet.com that a false flag attack may be in the offing. Tell folks about that.
Yeah, that was the Russian general staff Anatoly Nogostin, difficult to pronounce, but yeah, he's a top general in the Russian military, and he said on Monday that Georgia was possibly planning to commit false flag terror attacks by using mercenaries with Slavic appearance clad in the uniform of the Russian military, which is why they station troops around sensitive areas like hydroelectric plants and so forth, because they think that Georgia, is about to attempt a false flag attack, which would then be blamed on either Chechen separatists or whatever you want.
And let's be clear, there's already been a false flag attack, an attack on Russia, and then the media claiming Russia did it. That is a false flag right there. And so when they say they're getting intel that they may blow stuff up and blame it on the Russians, I mean, this is getting really serious.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the original attack claimed it was indiscriminate in targeting civilian areas, universities and hospitals and so forth, killed over, I mean, the conservative estimate is 1,400 civilians in South Ossetia. While that was taking place, the world was transfixed with the Olympics. And, I mean, it took about 6 or 8 hours for the mainstream media to even report on what was going on. And when they did, it was about the evil Russian aggressors.
Well, that tells us right there, the Western media is completely evil. The governments are completely criminal. And we already knew this, but it's just more validation that you can believe nothing they say or do. It is a criminal enterprise going for broke.
Exactly. And I mean, it was exemplified when they had that 12-year-old American girl on Fox News who was talking about how the Russians were the aggressors, and I mean, how the Georgians were the aggressors, sorry, and she was saved by the Russian troops, and they just cut her off. And I mean, Sky News and others have used actual clips of South Ossetian civilians screaming and crying and mourning their loved ones and said that they were Georgian citizens mourning the loss of their loved ones after the Russian attack. So they'll completely flip it around.
They've even shown Georgian troops attacking, as you said, South Ossetia, and then saying that they're Russian. They've shown South Ossetian hospitals and said that it's Georgians. Total contempt, total deception. Do you know what this means, listeners? Do you know what it means, the average yuppie out there listening, laughing right now? And this isn't cute. These levels of lies are very, very dangerous.
And then another thing that's dangerous is the fact that you've got this Saakashvili character who is so clearly mentally unstable. There was footage of him which we posted on Monday, where he's on live television, he's talking to Bush or Condoleezza Rice on the phone, and he literally starts eating his own tie. And it's not as if it's, you know, it's not a clear thing. He's actually eating his tie
on
live television.
It was like a Monty Python skit of showing a crazy person in a mental institution. He crams the red tie in his mouth, and then like a child with a crazy look starts chewing on it and just keeps going on live TV going, oh, I mean, just nuts.
Exactly, and then there's that other footage of him scampering away from after a plane flies over. And it's just pathetic. And the people behind him are pathetic. That, you know, NATO and the Anglo-American Empire, every time they make a statement and Russia ignores it, it just makes them look weaker. So it's the next stage in the collapse of that empire and the advance of a new one. And that's obvious for everyone to see.
Well, I mean, the Russians aren't good. Their government's corrupt. Most governments are bad. The Chinese government's horrible. But the point is, when we're worse than them, and when we have leaders that are, I mean, Condoleezza Rice is a complete moron. Bush is a complete joke. And we're all being blamed for this, ladies and gentlemen. The world knows we're lying. It's all over foreign news. Look at the American media. They are congenital liars. Look how dumb their people are. You know, they say Russia attacked Georgia. I mean, we are a laughing stock, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, there's been global polls about, you know, which side people believe, and the overwhelming majority believe the Russians, and it's not as if the Russians haven't been, you know, fingering the fact that the entire Western media is engaged in, I mean, Lavrov came out, the Russian foreign minister, and he called it a propaganda scam that is attempting to present an aggression on the part of the Georgian army against its own citizens as a conflict between Georgia and Russia.
I mean, what do they expect Russia to do? They came in, they pushed the military out, the Georgians kept firing while saying cease fire, begging for help, and announcing that Russia had invaded, and then the Russians have pulled back. Folks. Oh, man.
I mean, yeah, and exactly. Then you've got, I think it was last Friday, repeated reports about Russia attacking or advancing towards, in preparation to attack, the Georgian capital, Tbilisi, and other areas which the media was reporting that they were attacking. The next day, that news completely disappeared because it was completely made up. And the Russians were trying to point this out, and, you know, nobody mentions it the next day when it disappears from the headline.
What we are is a delusional country. And what extent is it in England? I mean, I know your media is almost worse than the U.S. media, I have to say, on this subject. You know, later they'll claim they weren't part of it. It's a little bit slicker in England, but at the time they're just as or worse at twisting and lying. Are the British people buying it?
Not as much as the Americans, that's for sure. I mean, there were headlines in the newspaper the day after it happened saying, you know, the pipeline war, and people began to learn that it was about this BTC pipeline that passes just underneath Russia. But what's good about Britain is that Russia Today, which has carried all the most precise news about this entire conflict, is on the satellite broadcasting system along with Sky News, BBC and all the others. And, I mean, we've been accused of parroting Russian propaganda, but the fact is that Russia Today have had on, for interviews, Paul Craig Roberts, you know, people from LouRockwell.com,
Ray McGovern,
war.com, people like that, who are on your show regularly. So it's not as
well, I have to say, I mean, Russia Today is incredibly accurate. I mean, it's thought-provoking. I mean, I wish we had TV like that here. I'm watching it, and I've got research from other sides. I'm not even just believing it, and it's accurate. I mean, it blows me away.
Yeah, to say that the Russian media is more independent than the British or the American just highlights how much trouble we're in.
Because, I mean, they'll even, quote, show both sides, but there isn't really any both sides about it. I tell you, I'm worried, Paul. It's just it's getting crazier and crazier.
Exactly. Whereas, you know, everybody in America, or if you take Yahoo.com as the news agenda in America, they're concerned about a plastic monkey suit that people claim is Bigfoot, and that's been top of the news all this week. I mean, what is going on in people's minds?
And you've got two scam artist corrections officers running around with this monkey suit that I identified in 5 minutes. Exactly. They want to know about a monkey suit. I'm sorry, the Russian media, the people there, they don't want to know about monkey suits, folks. The Japanese, it's just, we have, well, in my own private life, I deal with people making up stuff about me that's just whole cloth made up, and our own movement buys it. And it's like, answer for this, answer for that. I'm like, it's not even true. I'm, you know, it's just so incredible. I mean, we really, I keep repeating it, but it is a wanton delusion. People are delusional, Paul.
Well, exactly. It gives them refuge, doesn't it, from facing real issues. I mean, it's been that way for a while. But the level of wanton mindlessness, which is evident when you read the news every day, and what is top of the news, is just baffling. When a fake monkey suit can be top of the news while we may be on the verge of World War III, or at the very least, you know, a future nuclear conflict, and people are obsessing about a plastic monkey suit for an entire week, we're in a lot of trouble.
Well, over that weekend, 888-889-8810, the top story was celebrity hairdos and a car wreck. A car wrecked by some Hollywood star. I mean, folks, this is life and death. This isn't a game. This isn't a game having a criminal media that tells you Russia attacked Georgia. It isn't a game having a criminal media. The government staged terror attacks, folks. It's now come out mainstream news that Dick Cheney wanted to stage more and blow up our ships. They're not playing games. We're all in danger here. I'm sorry, monkey suits aren't important.
And as Ron Paul was talking about earlier, both McCain and Obama are fully behind the U.S. NATO client state, Georgia. today people are tipping, I don't know if it's been announced yet, it was set to be announced today or tomorrow.
Hillary.
The favorite, or one of the favorites, apart from Hillary.
Biden.
Is this guy from Indiana, this senator, Evan Bayh, who is the most virulent neocon you could ever imagine. He was actually on the the Committee for the Liberation of Iraq with John McCain in 2003, which propagandized for the invasion of Iraq.
Oh, so you're talking about who McCain's about to tip.
No, I'm talking about Barack Obama's potential.
I didn't know that. I knew he's looking at, oh my God.
This is U.S. News and World Report said yesterday, quote, top Democratic Party officials are expecting Barack Obama to select Indiana Senator Evan Bayh as his running mate as early as midweek. I don't know if it's going to be him, but it says that he's the favorite. And he voted for the reauthorization of the Patriot Act in 2006. He's repeatedly said that Iran has got a nuclear weapons program, despite the fact that the National Intelligence Estimate and the CIA said that's not true. He's a keen supporter of AIPAC, the pro-Israel lobby group, and he's potentially going to be Obama's running mate.
Stay there. Let's talk more about it with Paul Watson, PrisonPlanet.com. This is dangerous times, ladies and gentlemen. A bunch of hardcore criminals doing whatever they want, and a public just completely lobotomized. Got it. Some audio I'm going to play later in the next hour of Condoleezza Rice on CBS News demonizing Russia and lying. And I've been reading during the break every comment. These are people in the U.S. are saying you're complete liars. Russia attacked no one. Georgia attacked them. And saying you're a pack of liars. I mean, I think the New World Order, I mean, is really, really starting to destroy all their credibility. But going back to Paul Watson, Paul, you were bringing up the neocon that Barack Obama, I've got the U.S. News and World Report here, it certainly does say that he's probably going to pick a neocon warmonger as his VP. I mean, that's just par for the course. Go ahead.
Yeah, and there's a quote, which is from whitehouse.gov, which says, on October 2nd, 2002, Bayh joined President George W. Bush and congressional leaders in a Rose Garden ceremony announcing their agreement on the joint resolution authorizing the Iraq War, and was thanked by Bush and Senator John McCain, Obama's supposed adversary, for co-sponsoring the resolution. And he's also brought into force these resolutions against Iran. But most of these Democrats who voted for the Iraq War, you know, later recant, or supposedly recant, but Senator Bayh didn't even recant. In February 2006, he refused to renounce his support for the war in Iraq in an interview with the Washington Post, and he also voted for the reauthorization of the USA Patriot Act in 2006, having also declared his, quote, lifelong affection for the state of Israel AIPAC luncheon in the same year. So he's a complete neocon. He sat on the commission with McCain to propagandize for the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And he's also a Bilderberg member who gave a keynote speech at the 1999 Bilderberg meeting in Portugal. And this is the person that they're tipping to become Obama's potential future VP. So this empty platitude of change is once again, you know, revealed for the reality of what it is, which is the status quo.
Well, look at the Obama campaign going after Jerome Corsi for 9/11 Truth. So see, now the Democrats, oh, you better not talk about 9/11 Truth. I mean, there's just no difference.
Boy, I read the news today that McCain's 5 points ahead, and I couldn't care less, to be honest, because Obama would be more dangerous. You know, we had a fresh-faced, young contender here in 1997 who promised change, and his name was Tony Blair. Look what happened after that. And the same kind of mindless idolatry of Blair is what I'm seeing now with Obama in 2008. So if he's the man, then you can only expect things to get worse, because they'll bring in the left fist of the socialist encroachment on your private lives, just as they have in Britain.
And the Democrats are piling on to strengthen all the police state. And I want to see what liberals are going to do. Are you just going to now hail it and go, yes, it's good, but it was bad when Bush was doing it? Oh, man. You know, I'm tired of being called a right-winger, then a left-winger. Now I'm going to be a right-winger again if Obama gets elected. I just can't imagine McCain. I mean, the vast majority, I've seen the statistics, it's 90-plus percent of those that get that type of cancer that McCain had, they end up dying within 10 years. And he had it 9 years ago. And his cheeks are always swollen up, his neck's always swollen, he looks like he's about to die. Oh, God. And just, it's all this evil scum running everything. It just never is going to end, these people. Paul Watson, stay there. I want to do 5 more minutes with him. We're going to get Jonathan Ellen off. We are Change Colorado as we look deeply into the police state developing in Denver that I'll be right in the middle of next week.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We had Ron Paul on in the second hour, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Paul Watson right now. Paul, I'm about to get into the microwave guns and the sound cannons and secret FEMA camps and local police saying, oh, we built a secret 5,000-man camp, but we can't tell you about it. Now our local police are secret. Even Keith Olbermann admits they've been secretly federalized. I mean, it's a fake media, nothing but lies. $4-plus trillion missing from the Pentagon. I mean, it is completely lawless. The government's completely illegitimate, and it's only getting worse. And then meanwhile, I read about England with the frisk, the checkpoints, stopping your brother, putting him in a terror database. I got stopped when I was over there. Just tattletales everywhere. More and more police. It's total control. You take a picture of the cops, they come and beat you up. I mean, the whole Western world is sliding into tyranny, especially England and the U.S.,
Yeah, and the latest round of the police state in Britain was started with the aid of a media scaremongering campaign about knife crime, which the official figures show that violent crime is in fact down.
But notice how they call it knife crime and gun crime. Go ahead.
Yeah, and now on the back of this supposed epidemic of knife crime, which on the news at 6 o'clock in the evening, they show people running up to other people on CCTV cameras and violently stabbing them in the chest and so forth.
And that's what the cameras are used for, is to show you and scare you more, yes.
Yeah. So in response now, they've got random police checkpoints where police will just randomly show up en masse in riot vans to a train station, for example, which happened in a town not far from me.
And they're doing it in the nice areas. They come over to old people and stuff. Just like TSA goes crazy when they see a World War II vet on a walker. Go ahead.
Yeah, so the police will turn up en masse and just start frisking people and harassing people in the name of stopping knife crime. It's completely random. It would have no effect. And now they've actually brought a law in which says that if you are caught possessing a knife, it's instantly 3 years in prison, which came into effect the Monday after I got back from Switzerland, where I had bought my dad a Swiss Army knife as a gift.
Oh.
So if I'd have been going back a week later, I could have been locked up for 3 years for the crime of possessing a Swiss Army knife.
And don't think we're joking. One guy had been robbed 3 times. He had an old shotgun and shot one of them. He spent more than a decade in prison. They got his farm in lawsuits. He didn't want him raping his wife. People have used a butcher knife against attackers. They get charged. The state doesn't want you defending yourself, especially in England, and I remember the BBC, what, 5 years ago, the government called for registering all knives in the home. Is that next, Paul?
Yeah, that's on the agenda, and it's exactly as you said. They don't want anyone being able to defend themselves. They don't want any form of self-sufficiency. You know, in England now, they've got adverts on the TV threatening people with jail time if they don't get a license for their fishing rod. Not just that you have to have a license to fish in certain areas, but you have to have a license just to own a fishing rod now in England. That's how bad it's getting.
Just total control, total scum government. I mean, the Soviet Union was never this bad. Just humiliation, domination, just the opposite of freedom. Fat, stupid, evil cops stumbling around everywhere. Armed felons in the military just urinating and defecating all over us. Just laughing and smiling and giggling as everything goes to hell in the handbasket with a pack of media liars and criminals sucking the currency dry, blowing everything out.
That's what we're up against.
Oh, dear God. Paul, stay there. We're getting Eleanor on the line, but I want to cross over with you and Eleanor for a segment about any other police state news in England. You know what, government? You're illegitimate. You're criminal. You're not legitimate to me. You're nothing but criminal scum. You're put on notice. Declaration of Independence.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
TV set, license for your fishing rod. England has now implemented a license to be able to change baby diapers, to hug your children, or to be able to take them to events. That's right. It's pedophilia to hug your child. Your child. Of course, the pedophiles that run the government are the ones doing that, and I'm not joking. That's who runs the New World Order. It's the total destruction of the family. They're a few years ahead of us in England, but they're trying to push all the same things here. Paul, some of the other fun things, these scumbag criminals that rule over you in England, where you're a subject, are now doing to you.
In England over the past 2 years, there's always been a big controversy about bins, which is trash cans, because now they're moving less and less towards collecting them once weekly and are now imposing fines for people who either leave them out on the wrong day or if the lid on the trash can is slightly ajar. I mean, I had this happen to me personally. I put an extra, you know, bin in the trash can, and the lid was slightly ajar. So they slapped a sticker on the bin saying, if you don't close the bin lid, we won't collect your trash can, and
well,
you're subject to a fine.
People are being arrested for that now, but this is the point. Petty, tiny, small things now, you're going to go to jail. That's the New World Order system.
Yeah, and they've got these environmental crime units with hundreds of tattletales running around waiting for people to drop tiny pieces of food so they can slap fines on them. And,
oh, yeah, who was the guy that dropped an apple core and got arrested?
Yeah, there was a guy that, well, he didn't even drop an apple. They claimed he dropped an apple core, even though he says he didn't. So then they pursued him halfway across the town and then finally arrested him and held him in a cell for hours on end for the crime of allegedly dropping an apple core.
And this was at an outdoor cafe. It was found off the table. I mean,
yeah.
When I go to a restaurant, I got little children. There's always stuff under the table. That's it. Jail time.
Then there was a woman who was bought a sausage roll and fed a piece to her young daughter and a tiny bit of pastry dropped off and immediately pigeons swooped down to eat it. But these environmental crime unit officers came running across the road to harass her and gave her a fine for the crime of dropping a tiny piece of pastry.
Now, again, when you're in England, you'll see hordes of third world people doing whatever they want. But when you see citizens, they just run over and harass you. It's to let you know, because they know you pay the taxes. They know you're the cow. They know you're the milk cow. And they're letting you know you work for us now. I'm not kidding, folks.
Yes, to send a message saying we're the boss. And it's, as you mentioned before, it's like the panopticon. It's, people are told and it's reinforced constantly that they're under surveillance, that they're harassed. And so they self-regulate their own behavior so people just don't go out anymore and they don't talk to their neighbors in the fear that they might say
now,
something suspicious or whatever.
And now in England, they pull up with vans and make people randomly walk through them looking for weapons. They make you register with a thumbprint at almost all the big bars in London. And then, tissue test you for drugs when you go in. I mean, think of a science fiction movie 20 years ago where they DNA test you to go in a bar. But see, it's just, it's commonplace now. Like that guy at the Hard Rock Cafe in London, he said, I don't see those cameras. They don't exist. He wasn't joking. He said, I choose not to see them.
That's right. People just try and live their lives without the knowledge that eventually all of this is going to impact them directly.
Well, they're all being injected with cancer viruses, so that's why you got 25, 35-year-old women all getting cancer. The numbers exploded, people dying everywhere, and it's just the government still inject. Eugenics. We've killed tens of thousands of you in other tests we've been caught doing, but trust us now. Alex Jones is lying. Take the shots. We love you.
But
Russia really did attack Georgia, and there were WMDs. Everything's fine.
What's happening now in the UK is that parents are so suspicious of the vaccines that governments are openly saying, right, we're going to start an education campaign about the fact that the MMR shot, it really is safe. So they're openly saying that they're going to start a PR campaign because they know that people are skeptical of the vaccines now. So that's a benchmark of our success.
Yeah, because the child takes it and goes into a convulsion and never comes back. And then they SWAT team
well.
You for that. Yeah. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Mass fluoridization of British drinking water supplies. You know, people are eating the MSG-filled crisps and chips and all this kind of stuff. So it's an attack. It's an attack on the mind.
Well, here's an example. Big Red chewing gum, Wrigley Spearmint. They all have aspartame, even if they're not sugar-free. Everything has it. You can't find gum. I challenge you. Go to a store in the U.S., and if it's a big candy aisle, you might find one gum that doesn't have it. Maybe. Before, it wasn't there. Now, MSG admittedly attacks the brain, causes inflammation, retardation over time. It's in everything. And the sodium fluoride, they haven't fluoridated your water until now. And they even have studies in England where they first started fluoridating some cities 30 years ago. 20% IQ is lower, I mean, in the city. Than to a town right next door that doesn't have it. Same thing with Amish communities. I mean, it is a fact, and that's why we're so dumb in this country. And well, soon, Paul, you're going to be joining us.
There's a stereotype in Britain which says that Midlanders, people who live around Birmingham, that area, are the most dumbest people in Britain. Coincidentally, guess who's had fluoridated water for decades? Midlanders, people around that area. But it's a multiple-level attack. As you said, Wrigley's chewing gum, they've got a monopoly in Britain. You can't get any other brand of chewing gum, and it's filled to the brim with aspartame.
Well, you know how I discovered that, because I'd always thought Wrigley's didn't have it, and about 5 years ago I was eating some, and I got a headache.
Yeah.
And I went and looked, and so that was a double blind. It wasn't placebo. It wasn't psychosomatic. I went, man, I got a headache like when I drink a Diet Coke, and I looked, and it was aspartame.
Yeah, I had the same experience. I used to chew it all the time. Now I've finally found some on the internet that I have to get in bulk on mail order, just that doesn't have aspartame in it. But I think it's slowly people are getting educated about it. I mean, it was even in the film Shooter where the guy makes the joke about, oh yeah, and there were WMDs in Iraq and artificial sweeteners are perfect for your health. So I think it's getting out there and slowly people are starting to wake up. Now you're getting industries that are catering in this country for towards MSG-free crisps and completely GM-free food. So if people start waking up about it, then it becomes a business opportunity as well. So that's a good thing.
Well, let me say something to the police listening all over the country and the world. If I walked up to you and hit you in the head with a hammer and brain damaged you and you lost 20 IQ points, you'd be pretty mad at me, wouldn't you? But your loving government puts in your water that you breathe, goes through your skin and you drink, something that hurts you and your children. And I know you don't care about yourself, and you've bought into the evil, so you're going to deny what I'm saying is true. But at least for your children, check into what I'm saying. Thousands of government university studies, on average, a 20% IQ reduction. I mean, you don't want to do that to yourself. I mean, even if you're really stupid and already had a low IQ and drank a lot of fluoride, so you're borderline retarded, please, please don't do it to your children. I'm going to talk slow to them, and I'm being serious. there is a bad thing in the water. The water you drink, the tap water, it is bad for you. It was put there to make you stupid and easy to control, to fool you. You have children, those little ones. Don't give them the tap water at the grocery store. The water for babies and children has had fluoride put in it. By design, the studies by the scientists clearly show fluoride is more deadly and causes greater per capita, I'm using two big words, hurts children worse. Don't hurt your baby. I am your friend. I get mad at you because you don't listen. Please. Paul, would you like to talk to him the same way?
Well, you need to. It's not even.
That's too fast.
Joke.
I'm not joking. Slower. That's how politicians talk to us now. Go ahead. Talk to neocons,
yes,
and liberals.
Alex is correct. Listen to Alex. He is your friend. Sodium fluoride bad. MSG bad. Organic good. But seriously, I saw the Saturday Night Entertainment, which was on the BBC. It was because obviously I don't watch it, but my parents came round and they do. You know, they drink their fluoride. And the Saturday Night Entertainment is literally, it's either children's birthday party level or old people's senile home level, happy, clappy, karaoke sing-along entertainment. And it's shocking. To me, it was absolutely shocking because I hadn't seen anything like that for years and years. But it's aimed at people who are getting dumber, and the news has been dumbed down. Everything on television has been dumbed down to the point where it's almost like that film. What was it called by the guy who made...
Idiocracy.
Where you have things like, you know, Ow My Balls and programs like that actually do exist now, and they're being shown.
Oh, that's nothing. That video of the guy in Fayetteville, Arkansas, asking police why there's a warrantless checkpoint, they go, he knows how to talk. Take to jail. Paul Watson, thanks for the great job you're doing at PrisonPlanet.com and also PrisonPlanet.tv. We're going to bring Jonathan Ellen up right now. But stay there, Paul. I knew I had seen this headline before. I don't care that it's our story without credit. It's just interesting. George Washington blog, great blog. Advisor to anthrax investigations, his attack was false flag terror. He reported that over a year ago on this show. Of all places, Hustler published the transcript of the radio show. He can laugh at it. It's like the ninth largest magazine in the world. We all know that the bioweapons expert who actually drafted the current bioweapons law, Francis Boyle, has said that he is convinced that October 2000 attacks, I'm going to get him back on, that killed five people, were perpetrated and covered by the criminal elements of the U.S. government, and that the motive was to foment a police state by killing off and intimidating opposition to the post-9/11 legislation, such as the Patriot Act and later Military Commissions Act. And you click on it, and it's after DowningStreet.org has the article. And it's Paul Watson's article. Not linking to us. I don't care. Fine, have fun. Hey, in fact, if people want our news, you can just take our names off of it and use it. I don't care. As long as the information gets out to everybody, that's what matters. And that's what we're here for. The problem is I've had cases where people take our stories and others say we took it from them. It's kind of a reverse deal, so it's a little funny, but I'm glad that's out. Speaking on the anthrax story, Paul, and I'm going to go to Jonathan Elinoff. I mean, that's waking up the general public. Even the fluoride heads here in the U.S. are saying, yeah, that's crazy. They destroy the only samples they had so they could say it wasn't government anthrax, but all the experts that have looked at it say it is, and now they admit they have no evidence on this Ivans guy, and then they covered everything up. I mean, it's getting crazy.
Well, yeah, and a lot of people in this country woke up to there being a wider agenda behind that after they murdered Dr. David Kelly, of which the evidence for his murder and his link to those same bioweapons programs was so obvious that it woke a lot of people up, as well as the fact that there have been dozens and dozens of top microbiologists around the world who have died in mysterious circumstances.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And now he dies in government hands, but the media buries that. I mean, they murdered him, bottom line, folks. 98% chance. And what do you do when they're just such criminals? All right, well, Paul, I know you're gearing up at PrisonPlanet.tv for the release of Fabled Enemies. Fabled Enemies will be out. Can't hint for my listeners, really, the evening of the 31st, but I get back from Colorado that day, so I want to be able to coordinate that. But in the evening, or guaranteed on September 1st, Fabled Enemies, the new film, the anthrax attacks, the Israeli connection, the Pakistani connection, how it all ties together, the shadow government running the attacks, using operatives from Israel and Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. It is all there in the new film, Fable Enemy. Sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv today. And what else do they get, Paul, when they sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv?
They get a live streaming video of the Alex Jones Show every day. They get archives of that as well in multiple download formats. Every Alex Jones film in multiple download formats. The quality is getting better and better for each new release. We got streaming Flash as well, so you don't have to sit there and wait for it to download. You can just play it straight away. And, you know, we launched it 4 years and 4 months ago for $5.95 a month, and it's still $5.95 a month.
And you get 3 months free signing up for a year. Paul, thanks for the great work. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Alex.
You bet. I apologize for having Elinoff hold the last 10 minutes or so, but we got him on a bit late, and I wanted to keep Watson on for those other issues. Bill with us for the rest of the hour. Jonathan's one of the most prolific We Are Changers out there, just like Luke Radowski. He's got 500 and something members, I think he was telling me, last week, and they're all over the place in Colorado taking action. He's gotten all over the Denver Post and international media exposing provocateur plans at the events. And what I got him on today about is the secret camp, new developments there, the fact that the police lied and said it didn't exist and then were proven wrong. But more importantly, we don't have a lot of time, but I've got this idea to not just have We Are Change, 500 members, and myself out there, but we need people covertly sitting back, videotaping provocateurs, videotaping the anarchists, following the anarchists home, and really exposing their government operatives. We've done this before, but we can really have a big victory here. Jonathan, what do you say?
Absolutely. We have we've had meetings for like the past year planning for this. All of my members are prepped, ready. They've gone through training for this. We have hidden cams, pen cameras, tie cameras, button cams, pinhole cams, you name it, plus cameras on our back. We have four cameras that are going to be hooked up to laptops streaming live on the Internet on WeAreChangeColorado.org, also on the We Are Change Hub site. And we have teams that are set up. We even give them walkie-talkies because we're not sure if cell phones are going to be used. And they're going to be going around the DNC. There's three groups.
Stay there. And the mere fact, I'm glad you guys are doing this. See, great minds think alike. The mere fact that we're even announcing this, they may not launch false flags there. We've already caught them in a bunch of other places and it made mainstream news. It's really hurting the criminal murderers of America. The criminal murderers of America are going to be brought to justice. We'll be right back.
Listen to the radio.
You know, Jonathan Elinoff is such a great guy. We're going to have him back up for a full hour on Friday if he can do it when Burmese is sitting in. Talk about everything that they're going to be doing out there at the DNC. But We Are Change Colorado. We have Wayne Madsen in the wings. We double booked some guests. We're going to let Jonathan go here in a few minutes. But Jonathan, you've seen provocateuring. You've seen the local anarchists wanting to stir up trouble. You've stopped them. You've gone out to the little FEMA camp. I mean, you guys are really having a big effect, and I salute you.
Thank you. Yes, we. I went into the two of the core meetings out here of the groups I think that are going to be starting up most of the problems. And when I arrived, I had a hidden recorder because they weren't letting people videotape. And what was being discussed was property destruction, roadblocks, surrounding cars, disguising people's faces, shields, basically a complete nightmare. And so that was months ago when I first wrote an article up on Truth Alliance about provocateuring at the DNC. And from there, the entire Denver community just split, and it became open, which up until that point was quiet. It was being kept secret. It was being kept under wraps. And we broke that out and got people talking about it, educated them about provocateurs, handed out martial laws, educated people about InfoWars. Tons of people found out who you were, and it just created this huge war, basically, in the activist community out here. And we ended up getting a lot of members, and two of the groups basically broke up, but they're still going to be down there. This Sunday, as a matter of fact, is the End the Occupations rally in Denver, which is the one we're really concerned about because they don't have a permit for it, the groups that are doing it. They've been asked to stop. They're continuing to do this demonstration. They're going to continue marching onto the Pepsi Center, and this is before the DNC even starts. And so we've got members that are going to be at our park with us, but most of our members want to be in the crowd, videotaping and on the ground because they really, really, really think the stuff is not going to go down.
And you've got all the details on your websites. Give people the websites.
Yes, wearechangecolorado.org. They can find out everything we're setting up for the DNC. They can go there and sign up. We need money. We need help. We need supplies. We're trying to get signs. We're trying to get big models set up. And we also have all the information about the streaming video there. And we also are going to be showing Truth Rising here in Denver the week of the DNC. Tickets are on sale there as well. So we're going to try to really, really have a large 9/11 Truth presence. We're inviting everyone to come out and join us, stand with us. I know Willie Nelson's going to be in town. I know a lot of artists are going to be in town. Rage Against the Machine is here, Dead Prez. And many of these people are truthers. So the invite is to everybody. We have no idea who's going to come. We don't know who knows about what we're doing, but we know it's a large event here in Denver, and there's a lot of people here, and many of them are truthers.
So well, I'm going to be there in an RV out at your park, and I'm going to be getting there Sunday afternoon, and we're going to talk to you again on Friday. I meant to have you on longer, but Jonathan, we'll talk to you then. Thank you.
Absolutely, no problem.
You better take care. Okay, going to Wayne Madsen now. NSA security officer, we should just kill these people. And I don't think Wayne Madsen makes things up. And he's got a lot of good sources, put out a lot of good information in the past. And he's saying he now has this information from a good source. And not surprisingly, his name is on the list. He didn't give out the entire list. He said there were more on the list. Wayne, what is going on?
Well, this is a story I was covering for a couple of years now. I discovered back in 2005 that there was a database maintained by NSA that had the code name First Fruits.
Hey, your phone's really breaking up. I want you to start over. NSA database, First Fruits. You obviously worked with the NSA before. Go ahead.
Right. It was called First Fruits, and it was a database that originally it was a database that contained newspaper articles written by individuals who were writing about NSA, signals intelligence, communications intelligence, but apparently it's expanded since 05 to now include signals intelligence intercepts, wiretaps of journalists' phones to find out who their sources are, who they're talking to. So this has become quite a surveillance-oriented database from its original intention, which appeared to be nothing more than a classified clipping service.
Well, let's say hi to those listening. They're violating federal international common sense law You're enabling a criminal government, a criminal media to continue its activity. And I don't care if the criminals above you say it's okay. What you're doing is wrong. Wayne Madsen, what do you want to say to those listening right now?
Well, I think everyone should realize that journalists who have been investigative journalists have never had it easy in Washington. As a matter of fact, Jack Anderson, there was a plot being discussed back during the Nixon White House by Gordon Liddy. They were talking about killing Jack Anderson. But, whether they were serious or not, and who knows, Liddy probably was. But it looks like we're back to the future because I understand that there was a discussion when this database was first revealed in an article I wrote in 05 that someone in NSA security just glibly stated, why don't we just kill these guys? For that kind of those kinds of individuals to be working in an agency like that, I think is rather chilling to say the least. I heard my name was in there, but also the usual, people you could imagine are the usual suspects for them: Cy Hirsch, Jim Bamford, Jim Risen, who is facing a grand jury investigation right now for leaking the information about the warrantless wiretaps being conducted by NSA and the FBI. So it's obvious the Bush administration doesn't want anything out
there.
That's
right. You leak that they're committing crimes, and then they criminally come after you for trying to stop crime.
That's essentially what they're doing. The database itself is illegal, and they're trying to say that anyone who leaked that information has committed a national security offense. I understand that the level of the investigation of the leak is being called espionage and treason, and I looked up in the federal sentencing guidelines what the maximum penalty for treason and espionage is, and it's a death penalty.
Yeah. That's high treason. Now, isn't it high treason to be spying illegally on the American people for political control to block their free speech and First Amendment?
I always thought so.
I mean, they are the tyrants. They're the traitors. They're the people destroying America. And look, all they can do is hire crud now. And they hire these bully boys. I ran into them bad in Chantilly covering Bilderberg. And, they would come right up and threaten you. And
absolutely. These people are real thugs. I've always faced a lot of pressure in doing the kind of writing, investigating that I do. But to hear somebody say, "Why don't we just kill these guys?" When in fact there have been many journalists killed by our side in Iraq and in Afghanistan and other places.
Well, let's talk about that, but let me stop you, Wayne Madsen. You've seen No Way Out with Kevin Costner, right?
Oh, absolutely, a long time ago.
Remember when he's saying, "Who are these gentlemen?" And they're saying men formerly associated with special forces in the suits, like 45 years old. That is exactly what the guys in Virginia look like. I mean, it was like out of central casting.
Well, I also remember the movie, there was a movie... I think it had Robert Redford in it about NSA, and there was some NSA agents going around killing people. And then there was, of course, Enemy of the State, which was the same thing. And having worked at NSA, I said, "Oh, come on, having worked there, I know they don't have people that go around and kill people." Well, let me just change that now, because from what I understand now, there are people, at least one individual who works there, who entertain the notion of killing the journalists who were on their database.
Now, Wayne, you're a very credible source. You've been reporting on these security issues since you got out of the NSA and consulting for others. I mean, I'm all the time watching Capitol Hill videos, and there you are in the background, with your notepad. Why are they so mad at you? And I mean, obviously, Cy Hirsch, they want to know who in the White House knows, and reported that Dick Cheney was planning to blow up Navy ships 2 months ago and blame it on Iran.
Right.
I mean, obviously, that's why they're so upset. And I know you don't want to give away your... your ways of doing things, but it's certainly not just going to the park and meeting with them like they did back in the 60s. How are you guys still getting your information when you're constantly being followed?
Now it's very, very difficult because of the technology. I have conversations with sources where it's agreed battery's out, which means the battery comes out of the cell phone. When that happens, it can't be used as a transmitting device, and also the GPS is disabled, so it can't be used as a tracking device. So the lengths to which I'm going now to meet with people are much different than what I, you know, the precautions I used to take. I will stagger my travel, in the event that I'm being followed, which I have to assume is probably taking place.
Well, we talked to Cy Hirsch a week and a half ago, and he said he's coming on when he breaks something big in early fall. But he told us, I don't want to go into too much detail, he didn't say don't tell it, but the point is he says he's having to literally slither around and sneak around to meet his sources now, constantly being followed.
Oh, I can empathize and sympathize with him because that's exactly what I have to do myself. And obviously the people in the Bush administration are trying to find out who's talking about these illegal surveillance tactics, and they'll go to no end. I mean, there was one individual in NSA who wrote a report that Saddam had no WMDs, and they trumped up charges against him, planted classified documents in his house, and he's serving a 6-year prison term up in Lewisburg Federal Prison in Pennsylvania. The guy's innocent, but it doesn't matter. This is what they're prepared to do, to send a message to anyone who's thinking about disagreeing with this administration. It's the most thuggish administration I've ever seen. These guys make Richard Nixon look like Snow White.
Well, it's come out in the mainstream media about one of the top generals got in the car with a 2-star general investigating Abu Ghraib and said, basically, we're going to get you, boy. And then, you know, he said at that time he realized that this was not a military, this was a mafia. And the White House just brags that they don't just make donations to people's countries. They pay people off and pay leaders off. And now I've learned that all over the country, they are paying off mayors and county commissioners and sheriffs and police chiefs with millions in cash apiece. And I confirmed this back in the late 90s, but now it's widespread, Wayne. I mean, these people aren't playing games, man. This is a completely criminal rogue government.
Well, the other thing that I'm picking up also is the fact that with this surveillance technology, warrantless wiretaps, it's quite apparent that our members of Congress, one of the reasons they've been extremely silent on impeachment and bringing this administration to justice is because they're being blackmailed. Some of their phone calls have been listened in on. Whispering campaigns have been launched by these people, and it's obviously these whispering campaigns are launched against those who are their political enemies as a way to neutralize them.
6 months ago, it was reported that every member of the parliament's being spied on by the, quote, MI6 Queens branch, where you just have the military-industrial vested interest that is not just waging war on the people, but also the legitimate government.
Absolutely. And, and from what I gather, there was a Bible in NSA after the abuses of the 60s and 70s. It's called United States Signals Intelligence Directive 18, UCID 18. People can find it on the Internet. There's excerpts. It was classified, but there's excerpts. But it basically says, it always said, look, this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. Anytime you run across a U.S. person as subject to NSA surveillance, you've got to minimize that, which means the name has to be removed. Well, I get the impression from people I speak to, I'm not cleared anymore, I'm not there, I don't know, but I've talked to some people to know that UCID 18 has basically been torn up and shredded. There are no controls, checks on the surveillance being conducted by NSA. And a lot of this happened under the regime of General Michael Hayden, who is now the CIA director. So because of what he did at NSA and his violations of the law, he has been promoted to the CIA director. So he's been rewarded quite nicely for what he did for this administration.
Let's talk about the compartmentalization, which I know a lot of even the employees in NSA and National Reconnaissance Office and the 15 other big ones that we know of, and now the private ones that they have go, you know, dial into the systems and spy and then send that to higher-ups, you know, whether they're using contractors for that more and more. I've seen some estimates that more than half is now private contractors gathering intelligence and making up intelligence that they then stovepipe in or cherry pick in. But the average person in NSA, which say has the job of listening to my phone calls, which we know they do, and listening to your phone calls, because they want to know who's calling. I mean, do they know they're traitor criminals, or are they just trying to get their pension? They're scared. They've seen other people murdered.
They are scared to death because what has happened with these security departments and divisions within these intelligence agencies is that these security groups are acting like the Stasi. In other words, those who are conducting the surveillance are also being surveilled. And I mean, you know, so you've got a real East Germany type situation here. Even if they say they don't want to do what they're doing, well, they dare not say anything or complain about it because they're going to find themselves subject to an investigation. And it's not pretty when they get a hold of you. They throw all kinds of charges at you. It's very similar to the scene in the first episode, you know, the first Matrix movie where Neo's there and the guy's saying, well, you know, we know you help your landlady out with the trash and you pay your taxes, but we also know who you've been, you know, dealing with. So this is what's going on, and it's an incredibly morale-lowering situation within these agencies for these intelligence professionals to have to work in.
Well, that's where I was going next, but isn't that part of the method of the madness, that that'll run out the good people and they can roll in, you know, the hunchback gorillas?
Yeah, yeah. Many of the good people either want out or they've retired, you know, and they know, they see the abuses. Even once they're out, they're afraid to talk because they know they could be sanctioned. And these political U.S. attorneys have no problem with trumping up charges against dissidents, and then they'll do some judge shopping and find a judge who will go along with whatever they plan to do.
Well, you know, what's that movie, the true story about the East German spying on people, and he stops doing it, and then they basically shelve him? And then, you know, kill some other people?
Exactly. Yeah, I forget the name of that movie. It's a very good movie, yeah, but it showed how East Germany was a total surveillance society. And at least in that case, they had a high-ranking person in the Stasi, you know, basically help out the dissidents. And I think we have those people here, too, but we're in a very similar situation in East Germany when it comes to that type
of
thing.
Stay there, Wayne Madsen. This is riveting, power-packed info. Folks, they want to kill us. Stay with us. Rogue government is the only way to describe it. Completely hijacked by foreign interests. I have to say, Wayne Madsen, the Democrats, as even Keith Olbermann said, are going to go along with every bit of this, cheerlead it. Barack Obama. Do you see George Bush, Mr. This would be much better if it was a dictatorship, leaving office, and then what do you see happening with the election?
Well, I think they're going to... The guy I'm worried about is Dick Cheney, of course. And what I'm concerned about is if the Democrats come in and there's this feeling like, well, we want to look to the future, let's not go over the past, and that means all these criminals are going to get away with, you know, literally with murder. I think there's got to be something akin to a truth and reconciliation commission, more the truth than the reconciliation with these guys, because I do feel they've committed treason, and I think they should be held accountable. So I think that we should try to resist efforts by the Democrats to try to say, well, we don't want to go over that these old saws and look at the past 8 years. I think it's absolutely necessary to look at the past 8 years, or otherwise the Obama administration is going to have a very tough 4 years ahead of it.
Well, Wayne, living in Maryland, being in and around all these people, working with them, the ideologues, the gung-ho, I'm fighting for America, I've got to kill American citizens and spy on them and be evil to protect America from the godless cretins. It doesn't seem there's as many of those now in the administration as there are just pirates, mercenaries, just
right.
Guys that don't care. I mean, what's it made up of with their core operatives?
Well, I'll tell you what we see now. We do see a mass exodus of the political appointees, especially in Justice Department, because they're all trying to land in nice jobs. They know their time is limited. what that's doing in, say, the Justice Department is that some of the career attorneys, the career prosecutors, are now, you know, getting some authority that they've not had since Bush came into town, and we see a little bit of movement there to like the prosecution of Ted Stevens, this crook from Alaska. I'm not sure that would have happened deep within the Bush administration. Yeah. I think we see a little bit more of this movement now because the career guys are starting to become acting in these what normally would be political appointment jobs.
And for those that don't know, Ted Stevens was just robbing and stealing in front of everyone. He wasn't even hiding it. He was like robbing the bank with the jewels dripping behind him. I mean,
right. And the other thing is that Secretary of Defense Gates, I think, deserves some credit because he has basically fired the entire Air Force leadership, including suspending the Air Force Cyber Command, which I had reported earlier this year was the alternate chain of command for Dick Cheney to start moving nuclear weapons around, including those six nukes he authorized the movement of out of North Dakota.
So the evil but more restrained James Baker, George Shultz types are actually hacking up some neocon tentacles?
Well, definitely Gates is, and I know Gates is basically, you know, old man Bush's guy within this administration.
That's what I meant.
To provide some adult supervision for the boy. And Gates has put his own people now, at least people who are loyal to him, in charge of the Air Force. So I think we can breathe a little bit easier about that alternate chain of command. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just had its wings clipped a bit.
Wayne, I want to come back in a final segment with you and talk about WayneMadsenReport.com and what you're doing there, your great material, how folks can get involved with that. And also the D.C. Madam, some kind of closing chapters in that and the Carnaby situation. 5 minutes left with our guests. Then we've got Professor Peter Del Scott on the Russia situation, government narcotics trafficking, the police state, death squads, secret camps. He is quite a fount of knowledge. We'll be talking to him. In T-minus 8 minutes, we're going to be going live with Peter Del Scott, live on PrisonPlanet.tv with a video feed out of my studio, live with the document cam, and a lot more for PrisonPlanet.tv members. Wayne Madsen, WayneMadsenReport.com is our guest. Just finishing up briefly, NSA security officer, we should just kill these people. And this is being picked up and reported by Richard Bowler at Op-Ed News, but you're confirming that indeed you've gotten this from your sources.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't the only one on the list. Certainly, other names mentioned were Cy Hirsch, Jim Bamford, Jim Risen of the New York Times. And this was 05. I have to assume that this list has been added to, especially with probably people like Ron Suskin, whose book about Cheney is out now, and people like Tom Ricks, all those people who had sources about how foolish this administration was with Iraq and how foolish they may be soon with Iran and these other issues. So,
what did you think of their little Russian foray?
Oh, absolutely ridiculous. I mean, here we have this regime in Georgia installed by George Soros, which has neocons all throughout this Georgian government. And, talk about poking the Russian bear, and now they're upset because the bear used its claw to swipe them back. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, they ran up to a grizzly bear and jammed an ice pick in its rear end, and it just simply swatted them off, and they're whining and belly aching. It's just unbelievable. The D.C. madam, Geraldo, sent me back up for the show and then canceled me while I was about to go live. They killed that. I've had detectives calling me. It's come out that her lawyer says that she said she wanted all her material to come out. They said she was suicided. She told me if she was ever suicided, it would be murder. Yeah. She told everybody this. She told you that. And then she magically, some crime reporter she never talked to, says that she said she was. In hindsight, what happened there?
Well, I don't believe. First of all, I know how much she was worried about her elderly mother who had a heart condition. So, I just don't think she would have put her in a position having to find her body hanging there.
From oh,
the,
yeah.
The other thing is, where she was found hanging from, it was one of these, cathedral-type roofs. She wasn't tall enough to reach that center beam, so obviously she would have had to have some assistance, and I believe she did have some assistance.
And they did that even to be mean to her mother. You know, she told the condo guy, I'm paying six
yeah.
months ahead. I'll be out in a few years. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to write a big book. And they're like, no, you're not. I wish she'd have just let out all the names and they wouldn't have killed her like Jennifer Flowers did. But she didn't. They killed her dead in a hammer.
Right, right. But I think, if there are some papers, I've spoken to her attorney also. And I know there's a book in the works from him. So he's also taking very extreme precautions with his own safety.
But he needs to not wait with a book. He needs to release that right now.
Well, I agree, but, I guess it's one of those things we're all trying to struggle to stay afloat financially. But I think I have been told that when it comes out, it's going to have some amazing revelations in it.
Well, yeah, maybe after they're gone, but you know, that's like jumping into the water with 50 bowling balls tied to your legs. I mean, the guy he's got to let out the key info and then say a book's coming out later. I mean, I know
right.
you know that. I don't think these people realize, I mean, his client's been murdered. Do they realize how dangerous this is?
I'm just seeing on the wire now, Congresswoman Stephanie Tubbs Jones from Ohio did so much in trying to get to the bottom of the election fraud in 2004, and her state has now suffered an aneurysm, and she's in critical condition in a Cleveland hospital. So, the police said they stopped her because she was driving erratically. So you got to wonder. You got to wonder about these kinds of things in this kind of society we're in.
And Carnaby, where the police gun him down in broad daylight.
Exactly. And that one's not over by any stretch. There's a lot more, I think, that's going to come out on that one.
Well, Wayne Madsen, I want to talk to you again in the near future. TheWayneMadsenReport.com. WayneMadsenReport.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Good to be with you.
You bet. We'll be right back with Peter Dale Scott. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, for the rest of this hour, we're joined by professor, author Peter Dale Scott. Always enjoy interviewing him over the last 12 years or so that I've had a chance to have him on a couple times a year. And Peter Dale Scott is a Canadian poet and former English professor at the University of California, Berkeley. And he has been an advisor to, the bio is so long, it would take hours to go over all of his literary works, his investigations into government drug trafficking, into the deep state, you know, the shadow government, the true ruling elite. He has got a new book out right now, always out there on the forefront of research. And today, I wanted to get his take on the Russia situation briefly. Who the true shadow government is, who the deep state is, past Barack Obama, John McCain, George Bush, and the neocons. Because we see this police state control grid, the spying apparatus on citizens just growing, expanding, decade after decade, year after year, now really coming to a climax, it seems, and what the deep state wants, where it's going, and ways to stop it. And so I'm very honored to have Peter Dale Scott on with us. Peter Dale Scott, why don't you tell the listeners your own bio, what you think is most important for listeners that don't know who you are, instead of me picking and choosing what to talk about.
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm pleased and honored to be back on your show. And I guess what I want people to know most is that in the last 2 years, I've come out with not one but two new books, one called The Road to 9/11, and the other one, a vastly expanded reissue of my first book, The War Conspiracy. And rather than describe them at length, people can just Google for me, and at the very top they'll see Google for Peter Dale Scott. You'll see my website, which is www.peterdalescott.net. and I have a politics page on there that begins with description of these two books. So thank you for giving me a chance to work all that in.
Oh, absolutely. Let's get into currently what's happening, just a basic synopsis from your unique perspective, and whether you think the elite is in crisis or whether things are going well for them, and then who that deep state is, who the shadow government are, who controls it, where we're going, you know, what their goals are.
Well, because it is a deep state and a shadow government, I'm very much on the outside and just trying to put together clues. But I think that, in a sense, we've had one since World War II, and particularly the decision, you know, there was a kind of mood of panic right after World War II about the Russians, and I remember it. I didn't, as a Canadian, I didn't really participate in it, but I remember friends whom I respected who were sincere in their fear that if America didn't fight to dominate the world, then Russia would, the Soviet Union would take it over.
And then they built that tool to, quote, save us, and it inevitably turned into the Great Tyranny.
Well, what they did specifically, I mean, I'm trying to be hard-edged and narrow in my facts here. They created this special adjunct to the, well, they created the Central Intelligence Agency, for one thing. But then they went beyond that. At least the CIA was created by a statute, although the powers it now exercises were not envisaged in that statute. But when they went further and created something called OPC, the Office of Policy Coordination, such an innocent title, but in fact a very heavy agency whose function was defined as the subversion of other governments. Well, if you create an apparatus that's very skilled at subverting other governments, it's not at all surprising if you get some blowback and that one of the governments that's being subverted is our own. And what I refer to as the deep state is its origins are in that it was actually a huge apparatus at one point, larger than the CIA. And eventually was creating many, many problems for America.
Simply became continuity of government. I know I'm oversimplifying it, and now
you're jumping a bit, but yes, to shorten the whole narrative, you began...
Well, I don't want to shorten it. I mean, let's go back. I just wanted to jump ahead for a moment. But
No, that was a good thing you said that. In the 40s, it was OPC, and in our decade, it's COG. We've gone from one set of misleading initials to another, because continuity of government, as I always say, if your planning for COG involves suspending the Constitution, well, then it's better to call it change of government than continuity of government.
And then we look at who's involved bringing narcotics in, who's involved staging terror attacks, who's involved paying off local police chiefs. Let's zoom in.
Can I pick up on what you just said, that one of the real elements of continuity through all of this is the fact that OPC got involved not just in dealing with drug traffickers, but actually in the Far East building up a drug traffic as a kind of capitalist resource against communism in China and Southeast Asia.
And again, there's that very deeply evil idea of end justifies the means. Well, if the Soviets are making money running child kidnapping rings, we better. Well, if the Soviets are dealing cocaine and heroin, we better take control of it. You know, it's always, we're doing all this evil because we have to guard the truth with the bodyguard of lies.
Well, as I say, it began in a mood of fear, but it went on to a mood of global dominance. It changed. At the beginning, it was a question of fear that if we didn't control the flow of opium in Southeast Asia, then the Chinese communists would. Whether that was true or not, I actually doubt that it was, because, you know, opium had been such a scourge to China that one of the things that was really motivating the Chinese communists very powerfully was to end the scourge of opium,
That had been used by the Western powers to control, to get into China, to then break it up. And let's not forget Skull and Bones, which predominantly founded the CIA in 1947, was founded with opium money out of the Russell.
So far in effect, that's quite true.
So we all know it was never good. I mean, they sold the young men that went and joined and murdered and killed and did all this evil to fight communism. But up top, the big boys knew what it was really about.
Well, you know, it was an ugly situation in Asia. The communists were doing ugly things too, and as I say, rightly or wrongly, the decision was made. But because it was made in secret, it was never made with rational reassessment. Most policies of the government are ones which are reassessed from time to time, but the involvement with the drug traffickers was so secret that there was no overview, no reassessment, and it turned Burma, which before the war had not been a major part of the global opium scene. It turned Burma into the major supplier of opium and heroin for the world. And then, ironically, as the Vietnam War scaled down and the Americans pulled out, one of the consequences was that the Burmese opium production also scaled down, and we might have actually been able to lick the heroin problem in the world, except that within a decade, there we were. The CIA was in Afghanistan and helping now to build up opium. Helping to build up is a bit strong, but backing the people who energetically built up opium and heroin production in...
Well, you got to have some way to put our young people in prisons and have cops in black uniforms stomping around searching everyone. I mean, you know.
It has become part of the social fabric of this country, and particularly, of course, it weighs very heavily on the ethnic populations, blacks and Hispanics. A very high percentage of young blacks are in prison for possession of, say, crack, which is treated far more punitively because it's an ethnic drug than regular cocaine, which is used by the upper middle class of the white population.
Well, I mean, Rush Limbaugh can take 100 Oxycontins a day that's synthetic heroin. That's all right. He doesn't get in trouble. But a young black man or anybody else is found with the cocaine, they're going to go to prison for a very, very long time. And you know, they need slaves in the prisons.
I'm very worried about this policy just from a national security point of view.
No, I am too, yeah.
You know, in this country, we have two kinds of Muslims. We have, ironically, some of the most affluent Muslims outside of the Islamic areas are in this country and are basically very well assimilated. But the prisons are recruiting grounds for the black Muslims, and there are different trends among them. Some of them, again, I think most of the black Muslims, their aspirations are to be middle class and to join the American mainstream, but there are some deviant elements recruiting in the prisons and actually getting people to go over to these training camps in Afghanistan. And I think that because all of our policies are so irrational, so crazy in this area, there's no rational assessment of the danger that I'm aware of. Of the danger that this presents for our country.
Well, when we come back, I want to get more into drug trafficking with Peter Del Scott, but also deep government, continuity of government, in and around the 9/11 attacks, and what you think the continuity of government system, our private owners, what are they planning for us in the future from the activities you're charting and what they're doing? I mean, I've never seen a buildup this big domestically. I mean, this is massive. It's industrial. It's focused on the average people. What are they planning? Peter Del Scott. Peter Del Scott is our guest, really a top academic studying the shadow government narcotics trafficking. But to say government, it's private industry that takes control of government. And when they call it continuity of government, they're being honest. This means continuing the shadow government, continuing the corporate ownership of our government, continuing using it to tax us, regulate us, control us, mining us as really a commodity. And that's what we are to them, a very cheap commodity. Blood is cheap. Life is very cheap. And destroying our freedom is foremost dumbing us down. It's an ongoing corporate takeover of everything, our minds, you name it. So let's get into this shadow government, the continuity government system, and where you see it going, Peter Dale Scott.
Well, I actually know very little about continuity of government like everybody else. I think the first thing to understand is it's so secret that even Congress isn't allowed to know what continuity of government means. And we had kind of a showdown, or we should have had a showdown in Congress just exactly a year ago, when the Congressman DeFazio, who was on the Homeland Security Committee, he noticed that the president, in a National Security Presidential Memorandum number 51, had renewed the state of emergency, and there were some secret annexes which contained provisions about continuity of government, COG. So he asked to see them and was told he couldn't see them. And then his whole committee, Homeland Security Committee, asked in writing to see them and were told that the committee did not have the clearances to see this. Well, when you consider that one of the few things that has been repeatedly said about COG, and it was said way back in the 1980s.
They always claim that Congress is involved. Congress is co-equal, but now some shadowy military corporate executive thing says no, no, no.
Yeah, I want to say that in the 1980s, the news stories, Oliver North was working on them at that time, and Oliver North was had created some enemies in the government, and there were some leaks about COG, and the main leak was that it was plans for the suspension of the U.S. Constitution. So we have, this is the line in the sand, that Congress is asking about a program which is said to involve suspension of the Constitution, and is told that Congress doesn't have the authority to look at it. So
That is a suspension. That is prima facie saying, is under the Constitution, the Congress is co-equal.
Well, particularly because Congress failed. If Congress had done something about it, maybe we could have got things back on a more level keel and back to normal. But so far, Congress has done nothing about this challenge to its authority, and that's very discouraging for me.
It is. Well, I've reverse engineered a lot of what COG's doing, just from interviewing local police chiefs, you know, where the rubber meets the roads, where you pick up the most intelligence. And for at least 30 years, I discovered it 10 years ago, they go to every major police chief and special forces, CIA, Delta Force, and it's always over something innocuous. They corrupt them, and they say, here's $100,000 if you just do me this little favor. And they'll go, well, that's a little bitty favor, just calling the fire chief and asking him to let you do something in an old building. We just want to be your friend. Take the $100,000. And that's how they, I mean, so that's just one little window in. Or in the late 80s, they were doing gun confiscation raids using Marines in police uniforms. Or we learned almost 3 years ago, and it came out in mainstream news a year after I reported it, we got the secret FEMA documents where they recruited 26,000 preachers to give their flock sermons written by FEMA about going to camps, giving up your guns, Romans 13. So what I'm saying is, on the ground, it's everywhere. I mean, they are working like busy bees, not just with Hollywood scripts or TV propaganda, but, I mean, they're everywhere engaging in hardcore criminal activity.
Well, some of what you've talked about actually antedates this current COG planning that I'm talking about. The current phase of it began in the second year of the Reagan presidency, when Cheney and Rumsfeld were empowered to plan it, and they planned it for 20 years. But before that, there were older programs, and one of them, of course, was the CIA, which is supposed to work overseas and have no domestic security assignments, but in fact has worked very closely with police departments, some more than others, but a great many of them. and giving police over recruiting police to serve overseas for the CIA. So there's a great deal going on that, you know, we only get little glimpses of. But you've interviewed people. What I've done is just work with documents and news stories. And what I see as being the core of the COG planning under Rumsfeld and Cheney has three elements. The first one is warrantless.
Stay there. Got a break. Yeah, there's an expansion. Let's get your analysis on that. Long segment coming up. You see, when you see the Congress, you see the senators, the governors, they're not in control anymore. But in case they ever try to take their rightful authority of the people, through the people, they're being bypassed. Secret prisons are being built. Assassins are being put in every city. The CIA is moving into emergency management centers with local police. They're hiring police as hitmen so they can kill people like Carnaby down in Houston when they need it. I mean, they mean business. And they're getting ready for something really big. Why are they gearing up when the public's already their slaves, don't even know what continent they're on, don't even know they're on a planet, half of them don't even know. Some people don't. Most kids now don't know the sun sets and the world's round. Total disconnection from reality. Why then is the COG, the social engineers, so worried? We'll talk to Peter Del Scott about that in just a few minutes. First off, a Cola Blue is a wonderful atmospheric water generator for your home. Pays for itself in 1 year if you buy your water from the store. Pure, clean water without the fluoride. Ultimate water from the humidity in the air. Know exactly what you're drinking. Machine produces up to 28 liters of water in 24 hours or 7.5 gallons. Produces about 2.5-3 gallons even in the really dry desert. And you can plug it into a solar panel or into the wall. We have one and love it. Low operating cost. On average, it costs 12 cents a gallon. Great tasting, pure H2O, exactly the way nature makes it. No chemicals, pollutants, or toxins. Neutral pH. 866-585-4044. 866-585-4044 or colablue.com. Colablue.com. And that is one of the great sponsors that makes so much of this radio show possible. All right, I've been jumping in. I always want to get Peter Del Scott on and not interrupt, but I want to back up everything he's saying. I want to add pieces of info. I want to, and he knows so much, but getting more into COG, I mean, we know now it's told Congress you're nothing, even though Congress is co-equal. Really, the founders said it was above the executive. It makes the laws, and the executive executes. I mean, that is a constitutional crisis, but it just goes forward. We know the NSA is spying on Congress. I just had Wayne Madsen on about that last hour. We know they're really gearing up. There's a huge buildup. So just whatever you think is most important on this subject, Peter.
Well, I'm going to, first of all, dispel the illusion that I know what COG is doing, because I'm quite sure of what I do know, but it's also quite limited. What I know about COG is based on reports from the 1980s, when it was the same planning, only with Oliver North, and there are three major ingredients of it, of which the third is the most important. The first is warrantless surveillance, and we've now seen this embodied into law, really, with the amendments to the FISA Act. And the second is warrantless detention. And, you know, I wrote a news story a couple of years back about a $400 million contract to KBR, which was, back in those days, still a subsidiary of Cheney's old corporation, Halliburton, to build detention camps as part of what the Homeland Security Department said on their website was a 10-year project end game to deal with the problem of illegal immigrants in this country. That's how they described it. But when you consider that there are almost 12 million illegal immigrants in this country, it's obviously a very ambitious program, of which this $400 million budget was only for one stage of the program. The third and the most important part, which is being planning for some time, how to get around the Posse Comitatus Act and normalize conditions of martial law, military operations in this country. And some very significant steps have now been taken publicly in that respect. We are now a military district. We have a NORTHCOM for the United States, just as the U.S. Army has a SOUTHCOM to deal with South America. And when we had the Katrina hurricane, the federal government tried very hard to get Governor Blanco of Louisiana to allow them to take over and federalize the National Guard. She resisted, but I think that maybe in the future they're just going to take that power, not by asking.
Hey, to interrupt, John Warner Defense Authorization Act 1997 said that, and said that for insurrection, for rebellion, for governors rebelling, it states the president is basically a dictator. So I know that you knew that, but for the audience.
Yeah, and one of the things about this last proclamation of extending the emergency was that Bush has now taken the responsibility for that right inside the White House. So it isn't even in the hands of Homeland Security and FEMA anymore. It's the direction comes centrally from this kind of inner bureaucracy inside the bureaucracy. And that's when I talk about the deep state, I'm talking about all of these ways in which a regular government, which has a certain degree of openness to it, is being supplanted by special arrangements which are secret and which we cannot see the details of.
But doesn't that say the fact that they take over 25 agencies in dealing with intelligence and law enforcement and security, put into Homeland Security, but then Bush doesn't even trust that? The executive drags it in even closer to a tiny eye of authority, and then he's got all the cronies and special interest behind him. I mean, that shows to me, and we've also seen in the news, that that is a byproduct of resistance within the bureaucracy.
I suspect that the real center of power there is going to be the vice president's office, because one of the changes since 9/11 has been the expansion of the vice president's office into a kind of nerve center for the whole of government, which it would never
yes.
was remotely anything like that before. And then the second thing is outsourcing. I think you mentioned yourself earlier on in this show how functions like surveillance of American citizens are now being outsourced to private companies like SAIC in San Diego.
Oh, you were listening earlier. I'm flattered.
No, I didn't hear the first hour, but I think you made a quick reference to it when you were talking about the first hour.
Okay.
And yes, this is extremely important. When we have Blackwater, in a sense, conducting warfare overseas, and not only that, but, you know, Blackwater was armed and in the streets of New Orleans after Katrina. Certainly Congress never had any say in that I know of. And then you've got the surveillance of Americans being entrusted to private corporations. There's a real conflict of interest here because it's then their interest to magnify mm-hmm. the perceived threat to government so that they can magnify their budget to go on surveilling us. And, Alex, I imagine that they listen to your phone and mine, and they aren't even the government.
And they make money out of it.
Yeah, for profit. They are for-profit corporations. And, as again, I am so disappointed that Congress has been very lethargic in dealing with these very rapid changes, which are... you see, what really counts at bottom of all this is that there are some people who feel that America should run an empire in every continent of the world and have U.S. troops in places like Georgia and Kyrgyzstan, which is on the Chinese border. You know, if there was democratic discussion of this, I think saner voices would establish that this is not in our interest. I mean, what's happened in Georgia in the last month is a clear illustration of the madness, the insanity of sticking our troops in remote corners where we can't ultimately back them up with anything short of a nuclear war. These policies aren't discussed. They're just done by small inner bureaucracies. And in order to maintain the fabric of empire, you've ultimately got to contain and curtail the forces of democracy in the home country.
Well, I agree, Peter Del Scott. They have to seize control of the central empire, the homeland, to ensure that they have this engine to go around dominating the planet. And that was my next question. There is such a contempt by government, and the orders we know have gone out, it's even come out in New York, to squeeze and boss and push and to not be like servants and to let the public know the government's the boss. And I've been in D.C., New York, other places, but also in London, and you'll just watch the police walk over rudely to a crowd in the middle of a park doing nothing and just yell at them like they're scum. And so that order has gone out. And I know you just cover scientifically what you can, you know, from a sociological perspective cover, but you can see it. They're gearing up for something big, and the indigenous populations of the empire, the Imperium, Oceania, and, of course, North America, some parts of Europe, is the main target. And there's this larger global deep state putting in the same control grids, the same surveillance, the same biometrics. Internationally standardized with the UN. The UN likes to act like they're separate from the U.S., but founded by the deep state in 55. It's...
45, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not as apocalyptic about this as you are, Alex, because, I've lived in many countries, and it's still true that of America as it was when I first came here in 1961. It may not be quite as true now as it was then, but this is still basically a country that I feel more secure in vis-a-vis the police.
No, I agree with you. What I'm saying is the direction it's going. Okay, listen, it's apocalyptic to me that the majority of narcotics are shipped in here by government-approved groups, and the people they go attack or raid overseas or down south are the cartels that don't play ball. I mean, that's apocalyptic to have them putting people in prison for drugs they shipped in. It's apocalyptic to me to have them sneak attacking Russia 2 weeks ago. I mean, 1.2 million dead Iraqis is apocalyptic. And they admitted in the Houston Chronicle that those FEMA camps were also for, American citizens, too. And, I agree that we've still got a lot of good left in this country and that other nations are bad or worse. I was saying it's global.
Well, you know, if you go back, the first big plan for massive detention was Oliver North. And Oliver North, he ran into opposition from Reagan's own attorney general. Now, it's true that attorney general then quickly resigned and another one came. But the North plans were put on hold, and Congress's role there is very iffy. On the one hand, North was asked about this in the Iran-Contra hearings. Is it true you're planning for the suspension of the American Constitution? And the amazing response of the chairman, who was a Democrat, Senator Inouye, and by the way, basically a fairly decent senator, but his response was, if we're going to talk about that, we have to go into a secret session. So he, in a sense, was protecting the secret system, giving it priority over the importance of exposing it by the public
system. But then Congress was let in on it. Now they're not, which shows a major shift.
I just don't know to what extent. I suspect that there are a few people who are let in the intelligence committees. But again, all I know is that there is a problem and there is no very little public response. And particularly in August of 2007, Congress should have said the Homeland Security Committee has the right to see those things. And in not saying that, it was virtually acknowledging that we're in a new era where secret papers have taken priority over the American Constitution.
Well, you say that you don't see it as apocalyptic as I see it. How do you see the future? Is it rosy, or what do you see happening?
Well, it depends which day of the week, Alex. Some days I am very pessimistic. But, you know, I think it's healthy to have powerful ability, capacity for denial. That's what makes me write my books. As long as I can go on writing my books, and here's an even more important public thing, as long as the Internet is allowing us to discuss these things openly, then we are not in a fascist state.
But you know now they're moving with a multi-headed hydra openly saying they want to shut down what we know as the web today with a cocktail of attacks.
That's quite true that there are some people who want to do this. But the nice thing about this litmus test for our society is that if that does happen, if they shut it down and we can't communicate with each other, we at least will know it. Now, you might say that's when it's too late and you can fold your tents, but it's not too late at present. I think that the real test ultimately is going to be how much do the American people care? You care and I care, and there are really thousands of people who care, but then there are millions of people who don't care, and the question is whether we can reach those millions or enough of them to create a change mentality in Congress. And I think that, you know, it's really important to be talking about this right now because we have an election. We've got candidates who are coming and talking to the people. I think everyone who knows about COG should be asking the candidates
yes.
in their district what is their position on COG.
Make it a big issue. I totally agree with you. Excellent point.
And this is where, you know, every now and then, the American people are part of the system. And between now and November, they have the power to ask these questions and to punish the candidates who refuse to take a strong position against the super the overriding of the Constitution by a set of secret orders.
Peter Del Scott is our guest. Peter, I'm going to skip this break for the network. And the InfoWars.com stream, you'll be able to hear this little final three-minute segment with Peter, then we'll come back in the final segment for the full audience here in just a moment. But before we go to this break, and then just address the InfoWars.com listeners and PrisonBonded.tv viewers, because I don't want to waste any time with you, Peter, give out your website, talk about those two new books. I want to have you back soon to talk just about the road to 9/11.
Okay. Are we saying goodbye at this point?
No. I'm now skipping breaks just on the internet side,
right.
and so that I have full time, and then we put it on the web. It's live too, but no, we're on the air right now. We're not saying bye.
And so, if you're inviting me to say, first of all, I want to repeat that my website is www.peterdalescott.net, where I have a lot more about these things. But you can just Google for me. If you Google for Peter Dale Scott, the first thing that comes up is my website. Now, in my newest book, The War Conspiracy, well, first of all, in The Road to 9/11, I lay out the conditions under which COG planning has gone on for 20 years and how it was instituted on September the 11th. A lot of people who are studying 9/11 are not aware that the chief political consequence of it was COG.
And this is absolutely key. We're going to keep talking about it right now, exclusively for InfoWars.com listeners. Peter, please continue. We're just on the internet feed right now, but it's hundreds of thousands listening for free and over 10,000 watching.
I see. Now I understand.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I should have you back up about for a full hour without getting into, you know, you're right. It was implemented then. We are currently under COG. Explain that to people.
And, you know, I've only had two favorable reviews, and both of them didn't believe me when I said it, but it's an absolute matter of fact, and it's said twice in the 9/11 report that it was instituted, and we can even time it to shortly before 10 o'clock on the morning of September the 11th.
And we know the five big aircraft that run it, the doomsday planes, were flying around. Yes, give us the proof, the facts, that it was implemented.
Well, no, I'd rather talk a bit about because I've really sort of shot my bolt on that, you know. I have many other things to say in The Road to 9/11, but my knowledge about what happened on that day is contained in two chapters.
No, but I meant specifically about continuity of government being implemented.
Well, there was a three-part order Richard Clark talks about it in his book, Against All Enemies, but the 9/11 report echoes him on this. There was an order. The first part is innocuous, which was to provide fighter escort for the president's plane. The second one was, the important thing was that the second one was to implement COG. And so there's no doubting that it happened. If I could say a word about my other book, The War Conspiracy, a lot of it's about Vietnam and is historical, but the end of it is about disturbing similarities between the assassination of President Kennedy and the way in which 9/11 was instituted. And I talk about designated suspects. I say that Oswald was a designated suspect because the CIA had been doing something with him, and whoever was responsible for the Kennedy assassination knew that there would not be a proper investigation because of the intelligence involvement with Oswald. And the same is true of 9/11. Now, I'm telescoping a great many similarities, but a key one is that at least two, and probably more, of the alleged assassins, hijackers, were of interest, of such interest to the CIA that in both cases, both Oswald in 63 and Al-Nidar and Al-Hazmi in 2000, information that the CIA ought to have given to the FBI, they didn't give.
And stay there. We're coming back to the full audience. I've got to have you back in the near future. Here we go.
Here they build the big guns.
Wow, I got to have Peter Dale Scott back soon for another hour just to get into his war conspiracy book. He was talking about similarities between the way they ran the JFK assassination and the way the Black Ops ran 9/11. All those telltale signs, the cover-ups, the activities, the supposed assassin, the hijackers. Springman, you know, the head of the visa section, he's in our new film, Fabled Enemies. You can pre-order right now. It comes out in about a week and a half. Again, at Infowars.com. You have Springman right there, and he's going, I'm not letting him in. They're listed as terrorists. And he's told, no. That's a cover for their national security jobs. You know, this is CIA. Let them in. And trained at the defense bases and in spy training. And that's all admitted, and the government just says, well, we're not going to talk about that. And, boy, I've got to read your two new books. I read one of your books, it must have been 10 years ago, you know, just about the government shipping and the drugs. And then I read it. I mean, you've written so many books, but these two new ones, folks can go to your website and get them, can't they?
My best books. You know, I used to, the other books I was teaching, and I wrote them in late at night in my spare time. These books, I spent 6 years on the road to 9/11, and all of my decades of thinking has gone into the reissue of the war conspiracy. So thank you, Alex.
Well, you bet. And again, I don't do you justice getting you on here and throwing all this. I'm trying to give people the big picture. I'm going to be out of town next week for the DNC, but how about I set you up for an hour with Jason Burmes, who's sitting in, so you can come on and give them the parallels, the intelligence fingerprints on JFK in 63.
I'm on the road myself quite a lot in the next month. I'm going to Canada at the end of this month and going back to Canada to read poetry in the middle of September. So he can phone me, and we'll see what we can work out.
Yeah, let me have my producer call you and just set you up sometime in the next 2 weeks, either on the show when I'm here or with Jason Burmes next week, because you know, an hour with the breaks isn't enough time. Peter Dale Scott, thanks for coming on with us.
Well, thank you, Alex.
What a great gentleman. What depth and breadth of knowledge. We'll have to pick his brain more here in the near future. Folks, we had Ron Paul on at the first of the show early in the show today. And we had Paul Watson with big breaking news on. We also had Jonathan Elenoff and then Wayne Madsen. And then, of course, Peter Dale Scott, you just heard for the last 50 minutes or so. That rebroadcast will start in about 3 minutes at one place on the Internet. I love our AM and FM dial. That's where we reach 90% of the people. Shortwave's wonderful. But the good part about Infowars.com and the free podcast as well, but the restreaming, is that you can listen how you want, when you want. So if you missed any of the first hour, second hour, Ron Paul with just incredible info on Georgia, his wife, Carol, on the rally that's coming up. Will he be there? You'll find out on the show coming up right now at InfoWars.com. Don't forget, Fabled Enemies is coming out, and I'm just too proud of this film. I want it to be a huge success. I want people to see this. We've also taken a bold risk putting this out. This film is controversial. You'll be able to see it at PrisonPlanet.tv on the September 1st, a few hours early, wink, wink. I'll put it out on the 31st at PrisonPlanet.tv for members there. And you can order the DVD right now and have it shipped out to you first, September 1st. Because we'll have all those pre-packets ready to go September 1st. UPS ground, take about 3 days on average in the United States to get that. And then in closing, Interfood, our wonderful folks, they make the show possible. Don't forget interfood.com. And don't forget the best storable food company out there that I found anywhere, and that is the J. Michael Stevens Group. They make so much what we do possible. They're a wonderful storable food company. It's where I got a lot of my food. 1-800-409-5633. 1-800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. Check out their big banners at the top of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And don't forget, you can call them right now and get a free brochure or audio CD about what they're doing. 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. eFoodsDirect.com. All right, retransmission starts right now with Ron Paul and the rest of it. Right now, we'll be right back in 1 minute at InfoWars.com.